We are now recording.
Okay, I'd like to call this meeting to order on January 12th, 2022, 9:30 a.m. Could we have a roll call, please?
David Swartz.
Here.
Peter Leeds.
Here.
Paul Steron.
Here.
Aaron Green.
Here.
Michael Kolecka. We have a quorum.
Very good. Thank you. See that we have at least one member of the public here, and there may be others on the Google Meet call, but you're welcome to address the committee at this time. Just keep in mind that unless something's on the agenda, we would not be able to discuss it today, and however, it could be put on a future agenda. So is there anything not on the agenda or on the agenda to talk about at this time?
Hi, my name's Keith Smith, and I just wanted to bring up a couple things. You guys are going to be considering the GFI on the new standards, and I hope that you could reevaluate the requirements where you're going to be considering a representative number, because I feel the GFI is extremely important. If you can't locate the reset, you just stick it in the report, saying unable to do that. The new 2020 NEC codes.
Would it be okay if we address that once we get to that? Is on the agenda.
Okay, good.
So, but I want to make a note to circle back to you, and if I fail to circle back, be sure and.
Okay.
Because you're kind of hidden from my view a little bit.
Okay. And then the other thing I wanted to bring up, a couple meetings ago, I couldn't make it, but I heard the recording, and you guys were discussing separate dwellings and defining that. I know it's not on, I don't know if it's on the agenda, but I think there's a misinterpretation of your findings on that, and I'd like to discuss that.
Okay. That's peripherally on the agenda as, or no, it's not. We addressed it in a prior meeting. So that is actually not on this agenda.
Well, I think these guys are looking for clarification, too. But.
I would point the chairman to 5B. Five B, we are actually discussing additional changes that potentially send up in a rule packet.
And to clarify includes, that?
Yeah, that was one of the clarifications.
Okay,
that
then.
Staff is
great. We could so, address that.
Thank you.
5B, and then, okay, that's in rule 2. All right, thank you. Is there any other matters to bring to the committee? Okay, hearing none, we'll move along. We are at agenda item number 4, which is adoption of the minutes, of which we have two sets of minutes to approve and or modify or reject. And those are from November 18th, 2021 and December 21st, 2021. So,
if you could do those individually.
Individually, yes. So as it relates to the November 18th, 2021 minutes, are there any modifications or needed matters on that?
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we accept the minutes as written.
And second on that.
Very good. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of approving the minutes from November 2021, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none. So the motion passes. Minutes are approved. The next set of minutes are from December 21st, 2021. We could have a motion.
Yeah, motion to approve.
Second.
All right. Any further discussion on any changes? Very good. All those in favor of approving the minutes from December 21st, 2021, say aye.
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 Okay. Any opposed? None. The motion passes and the meeting minutes are accepted. So let's go to agenda item. Scrolls the opposite way that I scrolled, so I can't change these habits, apparently.
And you should have a mouse there, right, as well.
Yeah, that's true. Agenda item 5A is the ongoing revision process for the Home Inspector Standards of Professional Practice. So we made some progress last time, and however, we did not complete where we were. So I don't know if we want to jump into these additional. We have additional, if you did not notice, anybody did not notice, we have additional recommendations or changes proposed. And I'm not sure exactly where we left off. Was it heating? Was it the heating?
Because we didn't really leave off. We've been all over. But you want to start from the top and work your way down?
Yeah, and
these new...
If I could just have a quick moment just to maybe help kick it off and get us recentered here. So as part of this process, after last meeting, I wound up sending our current draft, or what I currently had as the current draft, to ASHI President Bruce Barker. He is the chair and somewhat author of the current ASHI standards from 2014. Super knowledgeable. I wasn't sure exactly what he was going to come back with. I can't think of, he's one of the top three or five people that are experts in home inspection standards. That's a pretty small club. While the three of us have hundreds and 90, 100 years of inspection between us, we don't have a lot of experience crafting standards. We live and breathe and die by them, but we are not crafting them every day. We're inspecting every day. Totally different discipline. And so I took that liberty on behalf of everyone to send that off, not exactly knowing what we were going to get back from Bruce. Bruce, being his very articulate self, I spent 2.5 hours on Christmas Eve with him on the phone. We went through line by line. And he had some excellent input. I don't necessarily agree with 100%, but he had excellent input on how and why the current ASHI standards are where they are, and some considerations for what we were trying to do with our standards here. And part of it came down to, do we have the stomach to really go through and kind of do a pretty complete cleanup of these, or do we just want to hit a couple high points and move on? And the thinking is, as long as we're doing it, let's try to do it, and again, as best as we can, try to build them for the next 20 years. So this is the equivalent of having a $300 home inspection standards consultant review these, and essentially what this document is from Bruce's comments is me assimilating that 2.5 hour conversation line by line, and then putting that on the paper. I sent that to Peter and Roger, the other two on the subcommittee. Peter provided some detailed feedback, which was super. I'm sure Roger will have some as we go through these. I think the hope here, as we start to look at this, is to try to get through as much as we can of these discussions. I think we can decide on a lot of this stuff. I think a lot of it is going to be fairly straightforward, but not everything will. Where we feel we need to maybe bring a Bruce Barker back into the discussion, maybe a thought is to, maybe we'll have a list of 3 or 4 or 5 things that we really want to bring up with Bruce on, okay, help us decide one way or the other. What should we do here? What's the best wording here? How can we accomplish X, Y, Z? And then we defer that to a follow-on meeting, and we bring Bruce in via Zoom and maybe help the final cleanup. That's kind of, you know, the hope here, and then move towards, our plan and ultimately getting this to, the governor later on this year. We, none of us want this to, drag on. We want to see some kind of end point here. And we could discuss these forever if we wanted to. But I think with this second revision and second pass, we've hit the salient points of what we need to focus on for considerations for upgrading these standards. So I think that's where we're at. I think we try to get through as much as we can here by noon or so here, I think is basically the plan. And I'm not sure that we're going to get through all of it, but I'm going to have a side list here of stuff what we maybe we need to bring the expert in to help us decide if we can't decide. So that's kind of where I think we might be at, Mr. Chair.
Okay. I'm just going to, just for the sake of folks who don't know this or anything, but just give a little bit of historic and then current history, too, on this process. But Peter and I and two others were involved with this original set of standards that we operate to now. And those, and that was in basically the year 2000, 2001, that process took place. We did not choose to work from the standards that ASHI had gone to at that time. We chose the 1992 standards, feeling they were more intelligently written. And we even modified those for the state of Arizona to make it the best it could be. And then subsequent to that, we wrote pool and spa standards from scratch. So we have extensive experience in this. When we entered into the process of rewriting the standards, I took it upon myself just to go after the two prominent organizations. One is ASHI, one is InterNACHI. At the time of the original drafting, ASHI was far more prominent and sophisticated than InterNACHI. So they were selected as the set of standards to work from. That has and actually there was one more organization that is now out of existence at that time. So now there's only two. The other one's similar, has larger numbers of members and is similarly sophisticated. And what I did is I took those two standards and I took a huge table and I tried to just like cherry pick and see what we could do with that. And it was like brain damage. So, and I came to a meeting and winded it up about that because it was so difficult. And so then the thought process was, let's make incremental changes to what we have. And while I love the idea of shooting for the stars and trying to lay out 20 years in the future, technology changes at such a pace these days, we almost cannot predict what the future is going to hold in terms of building technology. So at the time, many of us were ASHI members. I have served on the National Board of Directors, president of local Arizona ASHI, and all that. And then when the original committees and continuing committees existed, Peter was never affiliated with either, so he could be independent of the influences of these two organizations. I have since lapsed out, and I am no longer affiliated with either. So if we're going to return to, you know, trying to make this the best it can be, set this 20-year target, then I say we don't make incremental changes like we had done with things that we must fix. And I think there needs to be a review done with the input of the InterNACHI standards, which have some very brilliant components to them. So if that's the route this committee wants to take, we can do that. We can sort through the ones that you have here, or we can stick with the incremental changes we had, although these are very good. Bruce came up with some very good things. I reviewed them over the last couple of days, came up with some very important changes, I think. So that's something for us to decide, I think. Which are we going to do? Are we just going to go back to phase one and start over with cherry picking and making this thing the most brilliant document we can make it? Are we going to go incremental change?
Mr. Chairman, if we follow your suggestion, we want to adopt standards that are already in place. in essence, we would have to get ASHI Arizona to adopt the changes that you're bringing in from international.
No, we would. I think we. You know how we had the preamble to the standards? It said it was modified from the 1992 ASHI standards.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that InterNACHI would be accepting of, you know, it, what this document contains. You know, you could make that to where the agencies would accept it. The organizations would.
Yeah, but would the board? This is my question. Would the board accept a standard that we create that has been drawn from two different organizations?
Why would that be any different than one?
Well, because we're sitting here trying to adopt something that has already been adopted by an association.
Right. So I will say, I mean, anything's possible, but currently as it is, the board's in rule, it says you're going by this version of the ASHI standards. So I'm just going to think out loud a little bit. So adopting an updated version of the standards is would be probably the path of least resistance. Not that I'm saying that that's the correct path or the best path or something, but if the goal is to, and it seems like it should be, is to make this more unique, or not unique, but cater to Arizona, because certainly aren't there unique aspects of home inspections with Arizona? I mean, a lot of things that are maybe the same across the board nationally, but others that would be more specific to Arizona?
Not as many as you may think, because Arizona is a state. We have all sorts of climates. We have all sorts of building codes, all sorts of weather conditions.
Sure, you do have a lot of
so,
diversity.
We go from one extreme
with
to the
weather.
Other.
But you know, if you can, if the proposal is to draft rules that are most efficient, best, you know, all of those things, I mean, you take it to the board, I don't see that the board would, I mean, I can't speak for the board, obviously, but it's just a matter of being able to open a rule package and then going through that process and having everything vetted. Anyway, I don't foresee the board saying, well, you should have followed InterNACHI or NACHI or something.
No, I wouldn't.
with all of the input and everything that you're, you know, bringing in.
I will say, as the rule is currently written and as it would likely be when we open up a rule packet, it is going to be what ASHI Arizona adopts.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the target audience for much of this rule packet is ASHI Arizona. Those are the folks who are going to be charged with adopting this.
Because I already asked the question, why doesn't the board have its own standards? And I was told we can't.
Well no, it's
you
probably
can, but it's a little bit more work in the sense that you have an administration in place right now that wants you to eliminate, not add rules. And if I could compare to like the land surveyor issue that's gone nowhere, it was,
oh, really?
It was wanting to break that down, I believe, to have it, you know, in our rule rather than say, we accept this organization's standards, which is kind of what we're talking
about.
So
that never made it through?
And so they said, well, you're adding rules. It really wasn't that they were adding rules, but so no, it's never gone anywhere. It hasn't been allowed to even be open.
That we're working on that for years. I assumed that's through by now.
Not even opened.
So Mr. Chairman, what I suggest we do is we take this from the top to the bottom with everything that we have written, agree or disagree, get to the bottom, and I really feel we can do this today.
Yeah, I do.
And get to the bottom of this and then take a look at it. We generally bring it to the public after we're done here.
Once the rule package is opened, it's
then it goes. Then it goes
yes.
to the public when it's in work.
But that would be after ASHI adopts it, because the rule pack, or the rule packet's going to say is, at this meeting of ASHI, this particular rule set was adopted, and that's what we are adopting.
Which is another test, because it's got to be adopted by ASHI first. They're going to throw it to their membership. Their membership is going to give them all sorts of input. That will eventually come back to us if we needed to make any changes. But I think what Paul and Bruce have done is enough to get us through these standards with everything that we're all concerned with for now, and put us on the right footing to move forward with it, either into the system or, into ASHI system.
Arizona ASHI.
And then what comes back, we'll be in an excellent position to push it into the board system.
Yeah. I don't think we have to, like, retain, or the goal of 20 years is very awesome and all, but we could be going back. I mean, I remember writing statute. We're back at the legislature the very next year. You know, we thought we nailed it. And it's like, man, you don't always have everything in there you want. So we can always go back.
Yeah. Yeah. If there were specific things, Mr. Chair, that you saw in the InterNACHI standards that you wanted to incorporate, you
know, Well, if this survives this meeting and we do not conclude here, then I'll probably, I've got some highlights in from years ago, and we can look at that. But I don't want to just on the fly do it today.
My suggestion would be, since Bruce is going to have to take back this back to his members, I think we should probably start with his suggested edits. So,
Good call. All right, let's do that.
And I will tell you, from all of these, the more fundamental of these that will have a gut check is the immediate major repair. And do we do something with that, or do we just leave it as is and work around it? That's going to be, I think, the biggest, because that will dovetail on several other of these areas within the standards. The others are, frankly, a little bit more minor in nature, in my opinion.
I agree. Okay, so let's start with item 2.2.1.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, can I start with 2.2.1? Okay, 2.2.1 is I disagree, if you notice on my form. I disagree in removing this. He says it's too broad, but it's broad is what we need. 2.2.1 says that the home inspector should give the client a better understanding of the property conditions. That's the whole essence of a home inspector. Now, the associations, all of them, are educational organizations, all right? The board is a regulatory organization. So when we're talking about 2.2.1, this is the clause that we fall back on in enforcement advisory committee meetings, in assessments of complaints. This is what we can hold the home inspector to, is the actual scope of the inspection when he's not doing it. And let me give you a couple of examples. If a home inspector says he's got a gas furnace and then you read further on that it's a heat pump, that's a violation of 2.2.1. That does not give the client a better understanding of the property conditions. There's nothing in the standards that you can pick out to tell him he's wrong other than 2.2.1 or 2.2.1. Another example would be when they do ambiguous reporting, which is what we don't want, okay? Ambiguous reporting means that he comes into a category, say electrical panel, and says that the panel is satisfactory. And then he lists five or six irregularities or adverse conditions within that panel, all right? That's what we call ambiguous reporting, where his client is reading that everything is satisfactory, goes in and closes, and then comes back and actually gets into the report. Now, there's an onus on the client, but there's also an onus on the home inspector, to be clear, okay? So we would use 2.2.1 to tell him that you can't report ambiguously. You can't say that everything is good and then tell me it's not, all right? So 2.2.1 is the most important clause in here for regulatory.
Sure, and I agree, and I realize part of this is I'm going to be speaking on behalf of what I understand Bruce's concerns were, is that it's way too broad of an umbrella, that we can still accomplish your concerns on moving things under the umbrella, but it was way too broad from a liability. I mean, it's just like the whole world on the house, you know, a better understanding.
You have to give me an example of where you can bring that in elsewhere.
So, and just for context, that is a chronic problem. They'll say, you know, the plumbing or the supply piping is satisfactory. They'll go on one line down and start listing problems with it. Mm-hmm. It's new people, mostly new home inspectors. It's chronic problem, and this is where we nail it. I mean, the argument would be that it's so broad, but it's easy to prove that they gave a better understanding in most areas,
right?
But you failed right here. Failed here.
No, I know. And this is risk management on these standards is exactly this is what this is.
I've been with this committee forever. I've been with this committee since 2000. Okay, so that's 21 years now. And I've done hundreds, hundreds of enforcement advisory committee meetings. I've done scores of assessments. And I could tell you that 2.2.1 is probably in there as a reason for a ding or for a letter of concern or for anything in 80%.
Yeah.
Okay. And you can't you can't give up 2.2.1 because someone thinks it's too broad. You got to use 2.2.1 in a regulatory aspect, and that's what we do.
I will say, just reading this, you know, coming from a layperson's perspective or as an attorney's as a legal perspective, honestly, the breadth seems like it would be helpful to the home inspector if you can simply say the, if you were to assign a number to it, the client's understanding of the property was 0.1% better. That technically satisfies that rule requirement. If it is anything better than status quo ante, that would seem to satisfy the rule and satisfy what the committees are
looking for. Now you're talking about the entire report. I'm talking about a specific item within the report.
Or individual, really.
Yeah. Or individually, if the inspector can go, no, wait a minute, this is better than it would be otherwise. As long as you haven't introduced what I take you to be understanding, if you haven't introduced confusion by contradictory portions of the report, mm-hmm. then you seem to have satisfied the rule. That seems to be, for a competent home inspector, a relatively easy hurdle to.
It's super easy.
It is easy for the home inspector who knows what he's doing, or the one who's not sloppy.
Yeah.
But 2.2.1 is very, very important to me.
I agree.
And as we started into this process of revising our standards, the very first statement I said on there, probably still up there somewhere, don't lose this state.
It's on my copy.
Okay. All right.
That's fine. And it's not a hill to die on for me. I'm bringing it up.
Cool.
Because I was about to resign.
Well, that's all the reason to leave it in then.
I can't have you do that. Not at this juncture.
Yeah, it's very important. I've done hundreds of these complaints too, and it's a chronic problem. So, as we go down, the next is 2.2C3.
Now, just for clarity, I mean, are we coming to agreements on some of these things?
I mean,
do we need motions and all that?
We just agreed to leave that the way it was.
I don't think we need a formal motion on this, although our...
oh, heavens no.
If we can keep a record...
By item.
Yeah.
I don't want to go item by item. I'm going to put a check mark on who prevails. Like,
okay.
Which document prevails. Yeah. That's where I'm going.
Paul, this one is good for you, the 2.2C3. This is the one you're concerned with?
Well, I'm concerned if we wind up, if the right thing to do is immediate major repair and alter that, then it is going to affect a couple other things within the standards, but it is something for us to look at.
Could we actually have like a little bit of legal thought on so these are problems with the terms themselves, immediate causes problems, the word immediate?
Bruce's take was, and specifically on 2.2.C3, that there were, again, as said, there were just many things that did not include.
Yeah, it is. I agree with that.
And it wasn't the best way to phrase that. It wasn't grabbing the umbrella that we needed. You know?
So when I read immediate major repair, what I think it's asking for two different things. It's clarifying two different things about the repair. It has to be done now or in relatively short order. And, I don't really know what major means. We don't particularly
want to. It says that it's defined, actually.
So, and I guess I'll, let me turn your attention to the last page of Bruce's three-page document where we get into the depths, if we're going to discuss it.
Okay, and I also found it in the glossary, sorry.
Yeah, it's in the glossary, and then there's a discussion on page 3 in depths. If not addressed, will worsen appreciably or cause further damage. And the point is there are many major issues with a home that don't meet the standard, i.e. an AC unit that's blowing air, but it's not blowing cold air. Well, not going to necessarily worsen appreciably or cause damage, but it ain't right. But
well, in Arizona, it's also, I would say it's probably fits under the third definition, be a serious hazard to health. or safety, we'll have someone who dies in.
From the heat?
From the heat.
Right,
but I take the point that that probably doesn't encompass everything.
It's kind of a cover your six clause, in my opinion. So that if you have, say, for instance, you have a plumbing leak that's just dripping, most home inspectors would say repair it, okay? But the standards enable you to walk away from the saying repair it simply because it's not a major immediate repair. It could be done next week. It could not be done at all, and they're just going to pay the water bill. Of course, unless it's going to hurt their foundation. But, I mean, I was all for removing the immediate major from the entire standards and just saying.
But then we would never substitute with something like not functioning properly or something of that, right?
Well, most home inspectors will notice anything that's wrong and recommend repair.
Right.
All right? So why not just, say that? I mean, there's no cover your six in that. If you said something was wrong and you didn't recommend repair and somebody got mad at you about it, if we pull out immediate major, there's a good chance that we would have to ding them on that. But on the other hand, all home inspectors that I know are going to call out the smallest of things and recommend repair.
So I think we either clean up the definition or we remove it.
And cleaning up the definition to make it better than what it is really a complicated way to go.
How about it just we get down to something simple like not properly operated or not properly.
Well, major defect is defined in that way. Major defect is also defined as a system or component that is unsafe or not functioning.
Right. Or well worse than appreciated.
Well, now, that's in the definition of immediate major defect. But major defect is simply one that is not safe or not functioning. And I, having read both of those, I take immediate major repair. It uses the term major defect in its own definition, which is somewhat confusing. I would like to standardize, if we need to say immediate major defect for, and then major defect rather than saying repair and then defect, which causes some confusion.
Right.
So perhaps we standardize those terms. Unsafe or not functioning, if I think of a leak, I think it's not functioning correctly or it's not functioning completely, but if it's not, gushing open, it is still functioning in some capacity, just diminished. So perhaps we want to, one, standardize the language between immediate major repair and major defect and just call it immediate major defect. Or major repair. And perhaps we want to include some language in major defect that includes circumstances of diminished value or diminished capacity.
Well, yeah, major defect is referred to a whole bunch in here, I think.
What if we were to pull out immediate? Would that satisfy all the other concerns?
Well, I think part of the confusion stems, one, from the... You would need, I think you need a different, well, let's go back to C3.
Can we just turn every immediate major repair to major defect? Isn't it implied that a major defect is an immediate concern? And then, does the immediate major repair definition, and combine the two, but definition-wise, perhaps, but take out immediate major repair.
Well, let me ask you, from a policy perspective, because I'm not going to know policy. Is the umbrella that you're trying to reach, or the original drafters were trying to reach with immediate major repair, seems to me apparent from the language that there's a category that is so dangerous and so necessary that someone moving into the home needs to take care of this now, distinguished from all other kinds of repairs that are simply going to be good or, a homeowner will want to know these things but may not need to take care of them as soon as they move in.
Right. Now, that appears to be what the original thought was.
Yeah.
Where are all the references to immediate major repair?
There's one, as far
one?
As I can tell.
Where?
I'm on the standards right now and I did just a search, so there's two.
Only
it's basically
the
in that. C, what is it? 2.2,
it's
C3,
up in the scope.
And then the actual...
Is it anywhere else that you see?
Just the definition.
And that's it?
Yeah.
Just, okay. All right, I thought we had it somewhere else in there.
So, now, leaving in a medium major repair gives the home inspector the opportunity to not try to give advice on small items.
Well,
it holds his feet to the fire for something that's going to burn the house down.
Can you look for instances of major defect?
Yeah, I don't think it's there.
Okay.
So it is only defined.
Wow. In the reference to a major defect. That's goofy.
I know.
So, and beyond that, there's no logic in having the immediate be a higher level
of concern.
Of major defect, because we cannot be predictive in that way.
Yeah.
True.
And so...
So better to broaden it, have them catch everything, anything that is unsafe or not functioning. And I can't think of anything in those three categories for immediate major repair that would not be covered by major defect.
Same here. So I would dump immediate major repair, turn it into major defect. So
although you'll need to change some of the language because it says in need of immediate major repair, so the language would need to be...
So what would C3 say then?
State any systems or components containing a major defect. And keep the rest.
And then dial in the definition the way we want it.
Well, let's look at major defect.
So unsafe or non-functioning, is there anything else? The other one had the worsen appreciably, which is goofy as well.
Because we assume, well...
That's predictive.
Yeah.
We don't know. However,
unsafe, not functioning,
or not functioning properly, which is slightly different, and it's the leaking.
It gets into the AC
faucet.
Unit, yeah, or the AC unit blowing, improper air.
Yeah,
it's functioning, but not properly.
Not properly.
In my own reports, I use functioning as intended, or it's not functioning as.
Yeah,
intended.
That's another way, as intended.
Either way. They both mean the same thing.
Yeah, that's
what I
use. More of a layman's term, right?
Yeah.
So where do we stand now?
I'm in agreement with the change as a thought.
Okay, how...
So
articulate the change.
Well, if we add properly to the end of major defect, and then we have the chance to forget immediate major defect, but let's go back to 2.2.C.3 and see how that fits in, huh?
And I would say because... Defect versus repair.
Which were found to contain a major defect. How about that recommendations to correct, monitor, or evaluate? I mean, we know we need recommendations to further evaluate, but how about the whole correct and monitor thing?
Correct.
That's
it's
the other thing.
Different than monitor.
Oh,
it's
of course.
Kind of immediate.
Yeah, but does it belong there? Is what I'm asking.
So you're.
I have no problems with correct.
I think
monitor
it needs to be there because
it gives the home inspector a
recommendations to correct. So are we designing repairs here? Is what I'm asking.
No, because it doesn't say correct, monitor, and evaluate.
Ooh,
it's correct.
If
monitor
you read it that way, it almost sounds like we need to give the recommendation on
how to
correct.
Repair.
So it needs to be phrased just slightly different.
Well, it's not the way I'm reading it. It seems to
recommendation to make corrections.
I never read it that way until you guys said that.
I know, isn't that weird?
But
I never did either.
I honestly don't think it's inclusive of all of them. I think those are different options the way it's presently written.
So we're always trying to
pre-think
what legal professionals will do with the
What I would do, like, well...
Such as, put recommendations such as to correct, monitor, or evaluate you, and the
recommendations. Frankly, I think it reads pretty cleanly in the way you guys are intending as it's currently stated. If you have a list and you have an and in the middle... That gets to the concern that you guys are talking about. But the way we currently have it,
it could not be twisted by an attorney?
I mean,
come on.
I mean, could it, yes, is it going to be twisted? Well, no. Like, I don't think you're going to be successful doing that.
Saying he didn't tell me how to fix it.
So if he didn't tell me how to fix it, but he told you how to monitor or evaluate it, that still satisfies that rule.
All right. Well, okay. That's kind of...
Or such as, if you guys really want to just walk away from it.
I think such as is almost like a poor example, and we don't do that anywhere else.
And that's the other
thing.
And
also, you don't... Like, if you have those three categories and you want the inspector doing one of those three things at a minimum, like, it's good to give them...
What if it said... recommendations to make corrections, comma, monitor, or evaluate. Make corrections.
That's a little cleaner, isn't it?
It's a little cleaner.
I don't know that it is. I mean, I might just wind up disagreeing with you. I think the simple language as it's presently stated, it's
to
not...
To have corrections performed.
I really think you're just introducing language that makes it less clear. Simple is good.
I don't know. Maybe we got it, David.
Okay, that's fine. As long as you're comfortable and you're not being relied on for legal
advice. But I know. But like as an attorney, like looking at that, I see a rule that says you can do corrections, monitoring, evaluating, or any combination thereof, or leave one out depending on what you think is best. I don't see it as requiring all three, and it's very clear you're making reference to, so you state any systems or components so inspected which were found to contain a major defect, any recommendations to correct, monitor, or evaluate that defect maybe.
So
that would be the only change I could conceive of making is that defect or the defects.
In a home inspector's weird brain, we get concerned when it says we need to make recommendations to correct something.
Mm-hmm.
So you understand that fully, right?
Yeah.
And you're saying this sentence does not
require... No, it doesn't require you to
give
talk about
specifications as to how to correct it. It cannot be construed that this is where we make specifications.
If you tell them how to monitor it or how to evaluate it by... One, it says, and any recommendations to correct, monitor, or evaluate by appropriate person. So maybe...
Such as.
Not such as...
Forget the subject.
We're not going there. Good try.
State any systems and...
Recommendations to have corrections performed, comma, monitor, or evaluate by appropriate persons.
Or evaluate... Actually...
We can't come up with something better.
No, I actually...
You on to something here?
Yeah, I think I'm actually in agreement with David.
It just removes a little piece of risk.
Yeah.
That it could be construed that way.
Okay, how about... No, that don't work.
No, I think... To see, and any...
Recommendations to have corrections performed.
I would say may just
be
shorter.
Yeah, may is an easier word.
Of corrections made.
Of corrections made, monitor, or evaluate. That would work.
Well, to keep the tense the same, I would say monitored or evaluated.
That would seem to just take out a little baby piece of risk there.
Yep. I think that,
yeah,
that's
a
fine.
A little cleaner, I think.
I can deal with that.
Okay, thanks. All right, thank you.
Put a check on that.
Wow, so... So let's move on to the next one is 3.2.A, and we're in full agreement, I believe. Although that is advocating that we exclude those, right?
Yeah, to put 3.2.A, put in there adding product recall. Where would you put that? 3.2.A,
and then 11.
Number 11, I guess. Yeah. Number 11, home inspector is not required to report on product recalls. Yeah, that works for me.
That's comprehensive.
Yeah.
If you guys are over with respect to the policy,
yeah,
I think totally.
We can't keep up with product recalls. My wife's car has got 20 of them.
Okay, next item is 4.2B. The whole probing matter, let's see. That's
I made a statement here that I think you can clean that up by just taking the word structural out of there, out of 4.2.B.
Yeah.
And then leaving it there.
Because there's much probing to do without structural, right?
Yeah, this probing, you know, as a matter of fact, to probe down to the structure is quite horrible. But, you know, but if you just move out structural, because we probe for wood rod on door jams that are not structural. You know, we probe for sill damage from water coming in around windows that are not structural. So just moving the structure. That's my.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, so this is one. Let's make sure. Do we exclude that we have to verify that the whatever is installed according to manufacturer's installation specifications or something like that? Is that in our exclusions?
Specifications.
I'm not required to.
Well, what do you have in mind, dude?
Well, it just prompted in my mind that was one where InterNACHI kind of nailed it pretty good. They say any manufacturer's recalls or conformance with manufacturer installation. So to include that. You know, we're never going to know the manufacturer's specs for installation of anything in the home. So that should also be an exclusion.
In structural?
No.
I'm sorry, I reverted back. My brain kind of did like a short circuit there. And so when we looked back at the product recalls, it could say, or conformance with manufacturer installation requirements.
All right. Actually, that's good.
Yeah.
I think that's
there's good. A bunch in here that are like pretty solid, so maybe I'll take another look later, but that one just popped in my head. Sorry about that. Reverting back.
What was the last bit of that?
Conformance manufacturer's installation requirements or specifications, whichever you guys have.
Yeah, there's nothing else in there.
Instructions would be the easier way.
Yeah, probably could get that.
Yeah.
With an R and instructions.
There's a couple others we could look at.
But before we remove structural from here, I will point out this isn't for, it is structural components. I'm not sure that. I'm a little confused as to what the policies we're getting at by removing structural.
Well, because we probe things that are other than structural.
Components of the home that are still wood or whatever,
components but of
the
they're
home not structural
finishes.
Related at all. Yeah.
So
your point is it shouldn't be in the structure section?
If we're taking out structural and that's the policy you want to achieve, then yeah, I would put 4.2B somewhere else.
It would have to be exterior or something.
Could be interior.
It could be interior.
Well, unless we put it in both categories.
That's an exclusion though, right?
No, it's
no, it's under structure.
It's under structure, and
that's
it says the inspector
we must
shall.
Do, huh?
Shall
yeah.
probe.
Oh, yeah.
We shall.
So can it...
Well, I mean, is there a circumstance in which you suspect there's a deterioration of a structural component, and you would go after it?
Well, that's what we're probing for, to be honest with you. We're probing,
right.
we're
so
probing
why
the we... cosmetics to see if there's a structural issue.
So is the issue you don't want to be required to probe through cosmetics if you don't think there's a structural issue? Because if so, that rule seems to already do that. It says only where deterioration is already suspected.
Well, yeah, let's come back on this a little bit. So obviously the probe is in structure because of its level of importance on columns and structural components holding the house and the roof up. Obviously, probe does not address, and maybe it shouldn't, it's not meant to, non-structural wood damage on siding. It's not structural.
Or fascia.
Or fascia boards or all of that non-structural components. I guess what I'm saying is maybe it's okay the way it is, in that
the only thing we're not accomplishing here is requiring that the inspector shall probe non-structural components when evidence of deterioration is suspected. That's what we're not covering here, is for the inspector to probe non-structural components if we leave it as is. And is that okay, is what I'm throwing out to you guys?
I think so. I mean,
yeah. What do you think, Roger?
I like it. It is kind of.
Yeah, I know. To me, it's conflicting because I'm one way it's saying probe, and it says then we don't have to probe.
Right.
You know. Because we're going to damage the...
Right, well, there's an out for the inspector on damaging...
Yeah, I know, but...
components.
But you're going to damage the surface whether you probe it. I mean, if you're going to probe, you're going to damage the surface.
Right.
But you already have to suspect deterioration.
Which is going to show up on the surface. So. Otherwise, you wouldn't be suspecting.
Yeah, and we get accused every day of making damage worse by probing it.
Exactly.
As inspectors. I mean, that's a common complaint. But it wasn't that bad this morning, and now look, there's a hole in the wood.
I blame it on the termite guy.
Blame it on the termites. So I guess what I'm asking is maybe we leave it as is, unless we can think of a compelling reason to put the scope of probing into non-structural components and move it somewhere else. Maybe we leave it.
Well, I think the... You know, I'm actually just going to introduce...
My vote would be to either leave it as is or pull the whole phrase out.
I'd say pull it out.
So no probing required?
I think that's a good plan, actually. You know,
a wacky thought.
We could remove probing, and as Bruce's comments were, actually remove probing from their standards.
So that came
out. Yeah, they did.
So why not evaluate instead of probe? You can use other methods besides probe. I don't know, but it leaves it up to the inspector. But if you have deterioration of a structural component, like, I'm not involved in policy in the way you guys are, but as a home buyer, I'd want to know if there's a structural component that's deteriorating.
As far as visual goes, we have to do that. We're doing
So we could accomplish the standards without probing, just by observation. Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So why not then just leave it, evaluate, or observe?
Yeah, and I think that was why Ashley pulled out probing, because it was already being covered. The inspector's already on a hook to observe and recognize the defects. And probing is a carryover from years and years ago, right, where you better stick the screwdriver in there if you're not sure kind of thing. Right. So we could live without this, and I think our standards would... just be fine.
I'll defer on policy then, if we just want to eliminate 4-2-B.
Like that. So you're striking it?
Yeah.
So,
Check it, David.
So can I give one more little thing out of the international job?
Go for it.
Okay, so it's, and I think... find a spot to put it. So what we don't discuss here is that we're not required to determine the insurability of the property. So this insurability, it could go into 3.2A4.
So working in insurability of the property.
We need to.
You think that's an exposure?
Yeah. Because they're all different. I've had aluminum wiring. Some insurance companies will not cover the house.
And polybutylene.
And they closed on the house, and now this nightmare exists. So.
And it's not clear.
We don't know
what
their policy
is. Responsibility.
It's not clear. Yeah.
I would just make it separate.
Yeah. Okay, so then...
I would make it a 5 or a 11 or
a 12.
Make it 11.
Make it 12.
Move it out by itself. And I did have an example on an EAC.
Yeah, you know?
I had an example on an EAC.
You guys don't do anything.
Really?
That they couldn't get their insurance because the roof was no good. And the inspector said it was no good, but then, of course, the bank sent somebody else out there who said they didn't do the roof and everything went to the handbag. I can understand.
Well, so the wording might be the insurability of any inspected property?
Or the property, because we're only talking about
insurability of the property.
Also, there should be a period after 11.
Right. It's weird that some of these are like
okay,
complete sentences, yet they're not.
Yeah, thank you, David. Yeah, that good stuff.
I'm kind of in my agreement.
Okay, so we were moving. Okay.
Now, we don't like to get number sensitive.
Yeah, I know, but this was one place where Ashy kind of put a stake in the ground. I'm going to look at the... So I'm looking at what Ashy has here. Not required to. Inspector not required to enter under four crawl space areas that have less than 24 inches vertical on the ground or that have an access opening smaller than 60 by 24. So this was just for crawl. Access
in the attic too.
But attic is a different code
number.
It's a 20 by 24 or something. It's a little bit bigger opening.
Yeah.
But this was let me go back.
16 by 24 is the rule according to the international.
Well, 16 by 24. That I think it's the attic also. If there's no mechanical equipment up there. That's the deal. So the mechanical code says if you need to get up there to service, that has to be bigger. If there's no mechanical up there, it's 16 by 24 for crawls and attic.
Right. Same thing in the...
I do that in my contract. I have that in there.
We need to address that here for those that don't have it.
I would put it in just to give the home inspector some education, if nothing else.
It's cut and dry. You're in an EAC, it's cut and dry. Was it big enough to get in there or not? Yes or no? I mean, there's no gray area here.
Yeah, so let's do that.
But, the risk here of getting a little bit in the code land is that the code changes and we don't. But it's still, I mean, this has been here for eons. It's got to be 20 to 30 years that code's been in place and proven. And
well, the NEC, the National Electrical Code, is a prime example of a mess of codes coming out that I don't agree with, so... I would stay, if they change the code on me, I'm sticking my report to 16 by 24 anyway.
So so let's get back to...
We'll get the wording right. So we're in shalls. So we're providing an exception to a shall.
Yeah. So shall enter unless, right?
Yes.
Except when...
Except when access is less than 16 inches by 24 inches,
are we removing obstructed?
No.
Keeping obstructed.
Is obstructed, I'd leave the rest. So,
just put obstructed,
after access,
less than 16 by 24 inch clearance.
Opening.
Comma.
Opening.
Yeah.
Should almost
it is the access. It already says access. Is obstructed.
I would just write it out 16 inches by 24 inches.
Oh, right. It shouldn't have a number. It should be script.
24 inches.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we'll have to script the numbers, right?
I would take out entrance.
Take entrance out and just go to when entry could damage it.
Is that a standard crawl space opening?
Yes.
It is. Yeah.
Just curious.
Now,
it's
I know
the
it's
minimum,
small, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm
you
like,
have an older home, right?
Yeah.
It's the minimum.
Yeah. Older homes could be this big. There really wasn't any kind of code back in the 50s.
Well, I'm even thinking that seems small.
Check it out.
You crawl up in
there. What's
Roger?
The DC then? Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Every day. Every day.
So we moving on. 4.2E.
I'm sorry. Just give me one moment, please.
Why not, here's a thought, I think we should break that into a list, because you've got quite a few exceptions there.
Well, it's a little messy for me.
I mean, as a paragraph.
Yeah, with bullet points, you mean?
Yeah, I would do, well, not bullet points, but 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, bullets.
Okay, semicolon type?
Or colon, yeah, the way Chris doing it.
The when should stay up top. And then you won't have to write
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Put the when up top.
Yeah, that's good here.
And then just start with access.
I'm missing the shall not enter. Where's the not? Clearance.
Except when.
That should say except clearance when. Is less than.
Yeah, because now we have or access.
Or opening.
Opening.
What if we want to have it continuous
opening
type?
Would be better.
What if the opening's big and then somehow it channels down?
You mean get into a catwalk thing?
Or
I don't think
almost
we want to get into that, right?
Just we need this size clearance, period. Not just at the access. When we enter, that will provide protection that
well,
if it keeps squeezing down as you enter an attic or a crawl space.
Access spaces, not opening, but spaces here. Doesn't that cover it, David? Access spaces. Spaces do it, because we're not just talking about the opening here. In other words, you could have a great opening, but then you
but
can't get
saying,
underneath the duct.
Okay, well, yeah.
So maybe
if
space
you, if
or
you,
path or...
Yeah, if you don't add the word, if you leave two like it is right there. That's fine.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I would move access to the top and take clearance out and take when and work it off of when access is obstructed, is less than 16 inches by 24, could damage the property, dangerous or adverse situations are suspected. And leave it at that. And then if you don't put in clearance, you just say access. Well, if you're halfway through the crawl space and your access becomes less than 16 by 24, that would that works here. You know?
I think this works. Okay, we're not limiting this to the opening here. So
no.
Right.
So move access to the top and then clean up all those other lines, Kurt.
How does access before when access?
When access.
Obstructed one.
What about the fourth one?
We're not always talking about access for all of
right.
these. So
entry and
when access could damage the property.
Yeah.
Dangerous situation. Yeah, maybe not.
There's
okay,
two commas
ahead.
At the end of three.
It's
yeah.
one of them is
yeah.
stricken. You can't.
All right. So we. Go.
Yeah, I see what you're talking about. Here.
All right.
So are we good on this one?
Good on that?
Yeah.
4.2E. This is very controversial.
4.2E. Yeah, this was another one that, man, it's just such a broad umbrella. I just feel like the inspector's on such a big hook here. So let's see. Yeah, and it gets back to using adjectives and adverbs, which is just not a good practice.
So the ASHI recommendation was to just remove harmful, abnormal, and harmful?
Well, they're vague. Abnormal, harmful are vague, and subjective, right? What's harmful to me is not harmful to Peter.
All right, mold.
Right.
So mold's harmful to me.
We don't know. Everybody reacts different to mold. You could do it just fine.
And this whole mold thing is such a damn hot button for us. I mean, every day, it seems.
It's been that way for 20 years.
Yeah, no, I know, and will be.
You want to see mold, go to Louisiana. Abnormal or harmful condensation makes little sense.
How about condensation that indicates the failure of a component?
After the windows.
It may not be failed yet.
Well,
that's
failure might be too strong.
Yeah.
But what if we just lose abnormal and harmful on there? What if we just lose those two words?
Because that would seem to expand what you're on the hook for, because anytime you see condensation on a building component.
Or evidence of condensation?
Well, signs, evidence, it's kind of the same, right, Roger? Signs,
yeah.
Evidence, indication. Signs of condensation on building components. let's get back to what we were trying to accomplish with condensation here. We're not just talking about the average plumbing leak. We're talking just about condensation here, right?
The example that comes to mind for me would be your metal hangers up in an attic that's not ventilated. Okay, condensation will form on those and rust them right out, and then your joists start to fall. So I see this in commercial work all the time.
I know.
They didn't ventilate between the drop ceiling and the roof, and all the iron is rusted out to the point where it needs to be replaced. So
that's a pretty narrow scenario.
Well, condensation will occur on your metal components in your attic to begin with, or even in your crawl space. That's where you're going to see it.
So in this narrow application, maybe we're okay just removing abnormal or harmful. It says on building components.
Yeah, I would remove harmful because that's judgmental, but abnormal.
It's also judgmental.
I think so.
Yeah. And where I run across condensation is in skylights that are in bathrooms. Dome is nice and cold, especially up north.
Oh, yeah.
It's nice and cold, so therefore the warm shower water or shower steam and so forth goes up there and then condensates in there. So and people think the skylight's leaking, right. you know, it's a roof issue.
But that's transitory too. You know, that's just trouble, right? That can come and go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying that's where I run into it. That's where I run into condensation.
It looks like InterNACHI stripped it out entirely. They have no reference to our requirement to pull that off. Right, I'm going to read it one more time, but I cannot find it.
I'm not a fan of removing condensation, not reporting on condensation.
Well, and actually,
but we have to identify the condensation.
But just look at this first chunk here. It's a much bigger swath if you look at that water penetration to the building. That gets into grading. It's a bigger, actually, the more you look at it, it's much bigger than just condensation here. So there's really two issues in D. One is water intrusion penetration into the building or the condensation.
Which is odd because is it somehow excluding a plumbing leak that's massive?
Well, leaks is separately under plumbing.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
So, but so this could be grading. This could be roof leaks. Water penetration.
Would it include? But I think perhaps what Peter's getting at is circumstances where there's water in the atmosphere in the building. It's not really penetration the way that you would normally think about a leak. But that because of the structural or heating or ventilation of the building, that normal water vapor is condensating in the human
room, right.
Which I don't know that falls under penetration.
If
we take out condensation, that's a category of potential damage that's left out.
I believe that's true.
Right, but...
So there might be a way to... Probably better to just try to cabin what condensation we're talking about than getting rid of it entirely, at least if I understand the policy right.
What condensation is normal?
Yeah, abnormal condensation.
Is there any normal condensation?
When does it cross that threshold?
Well, what's normal condensation on a building?
Refrigerant line that might be exposed, right?
Well, that should be
right. Sweating a little bit, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But it should be right.
Should be, of course.
So, what else?
Roger's skylight in the bathroom.
Well, they need to turn on their fan. What else?
Right.
it gets trapped up in there.
But it could be other piping in an attic, other uninsulated piping in an attic. You got a hot water line. You got a hot PEX line up there, and that's condensing on the outside of that.
Well, that wouldn't be normal because that would cause the insulation to wad up or pat down or staining on the ceiling. That would have to be addressed also. So I can't think of a condensation on the building that shouldn't be addressed one way or another. So why don't we just pull out all the adjectives or adverbs and just run with condensation on building components?
Right, but we are going to stay with report signs of water penetration.
Oh, yeah,
in the building.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any argument.
Right, that's staying.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So why don't we try it with just pulling abnormal and harmful?
Yeah.
All right,
good.
Yeah, let's get back to the garage doors. Huh? 5-1-C. This is kind of a lead pipe cinch here. We had them we had the inspector all over the opener, but we never asked him to inspect the overhead door, just the operator. So we kind of missed that. That was another reason why, gee, it's good to have another set of eyes.
Yeah, it's a good idea to put that in. I agree with 5.1c.
So maybe vehicle door and operators. Does that fit in?
Yep.
I would keep door operators. Just.
Oh, you got to have operators.
So, no, without removing the second door. So I would keep a door and door operators.
Vehicle door and door operators. Two doors?
Yeah.
Two doors down?
They must have just assumed that. Well, they even say entry.
You're looking at entry, aren't you?
No, exterior. What? Like, how did Ashley not spot this?
All right,
long ago, you know.
They missed it before.
Kurt, if you can put a plural on the first doors.
2014.
Vehicle doors and door operators.
Perfect.
I like that.
Put a check on that, David.
Wait a second. Isn't it 5.2b?
No.
Read 5.2b.
Oh, yeah. And including garage doors.
It's just an operate, though.
You're going to operate.
Shall operate.
You're going to operate. So.
You're going to operate without observing?
We're going to operate the garage door. That's what 5.2b says we shall, right?
Yeah, so that's operation. That's not conditional.
Right.
Well, that's.
Well, we need the.
So do you feel
we need to observe the door.
We need to observe the condition, its operation, and
the door could be dented, and we don't have to right now.
We don't have it. We don't have a describe the door.
Yeah. Good thought.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
It should be in both places. One for condition. One.
Let's think this back here.
Got a check next to that?
So long as we're observing the garage door in 5.1c, then we don't need anything else for the door in 5.2c.
Yes, because that's an operation.
Right.
Oh, nothing else.
That's a shell report. Seems like that does it, huh?
Wait, describe the method you, the 5.2D vehicle door testing. It shouldn't be door operator testing? Because we're testing the operator when we are using some method to test.
Yeah, but we're also testing doors without operators.
Vehicle door and operator, or door and... What's it called?
Well, technically, we're supposed to operate the door if it's manual right up here, right?
No, that's an observe. You're only talking about its condition. You're down, the inspector shall operate.
That gets back to 5.2b.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what I'm saying is with 5.2d, if there's no garage door opener,
then
have to describe the method that you tested it? That's talking about using your hands or a block of wood or a toilet paper roll, paper towel roll, whatever.
Right. 5.2d is going to have at least start with two options. Either the operator door was tested by exerting pressure or by breaking the safety beam, and then we could have the third option is it was tested manually because there's no automatic opener on that bay of the garage.
But you already operated it in 5.2b.
But this is describing the method.
Right, describing the method.
It's a technicality. You're checking the operator.
But it's the method of the garage vehicle door operator. If there's no operator, why do you need a manual?
You don't have to describe how you tested it. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
right?
Yeah, but if there's no operator, there's only one way to test it.
Exactly.
So why do you need that in
so
maybe we don't need operator.
That's a vehicle door opener, what do we use for
operator?
Operator?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Vehicle door operator testing would be the real thing that we're checking.
Yeah, I guess so.
It says operator. If there's no operator.
Because if it's manual, then they have to do it in 5B anyway. Okay. All right, so if you could, when you get to it, Kurt.
Sure.
going to give him like an aneurysm or something.
Hang in there, Kurt. Let
I'm just
know.
Thirsty.
Let us know if you fail. Or
sorry, so what did you guys...
5.2D, after the word door, put operator.
Vehicle door operator testing.
Thank you. Okay, so 5.1F.
Bless you.
Thank you. Bless you. So this gets back in the whole vegetation thing, and we have had it with respect to their effect on the condition of the building, so we need to report on veg, creating drainage, driveway, patios, with respect to their effect on the building, and
or likely to adversely affect.
So he expanded it to like have
yeah,
to be
or having an adverse effect. I mean, I'm trying to think of a scenario here. So
one seems like you have the evidence it's affecting the building. The other is worse for us. It's saying you need to be predictive about whether it could or could not, right?
To their effect on the condition.
Or
and then that's why Bruce, you know, having an adverse or likely effect. So it's
so
a little
the likely
less.
Effect is the trouble.
I know it's not great. Likely is not a
do
great
word. Do we have
word.
It in there now? It says likely.
No.
Yeah. We don't want the word likely.
We yeah. I don't think we want the word likely. But so maybe. But a consideration is to you know with an adverse effect instead of. With their respect to the effect on the condition of the building.
Oh, that's a good thought. Anything
an adverse effect.
That's really all we're checking for. Okay, so then...
Well, then there has to come out. It would have to be with respect to possible or something like that effect on the condition of the building.
Well, that's why...
adverse effect.
And then possible is...
You know, likely is like potential. Yeah. That's murky waters oh, there. Time.
Well, then leave it.
Well, no.
Personally, I could go either way.
I would say respect
yeah, I almost could either.
Any adverse... any existing adverse effect or something is what we're shooting for. Like, if you have the evidence there, you have to report on that. But we don't have to predict that, you know, rain's going to now flow in a new direction or anything like that. With respect to an adverse effect. So an adverse effect instead of
to any. With respect to any existing adverse effect on the condition of the building.
If it just says then.
So what Ashley has is vegetation grading, surface drainage, and retaining walls that are likely to adversely affect the building. That's what Ashley has right now. Likely to adversely affect the building.
Likely is true.
Because you failed.
That was likely and you missed
it. I know,
it.
I know.
So, sorry.
So the question is that better than what we have now?
Well, existing.
If it said, if you could take out, if you could say, with respect to an existing adverse effect on the condition of the building. You, or use existing. You take out existing if you want, if you don't like that word. Because that's a little bit of a weird choice. We don't use that elsewhere, but... I'm okay with it either way.
Personally, I'd leave that alone, but that's me.
Yeah, we could just leave it. This is not a huge deal here. But I'm trying to think of a scenario of the leaning tree, you know, where the next big wind, it's going to come down on the roof.
You don't have to predict those conditions.
I know it's predictive, but, boy, you see a tree leaning. Boy, that's likely on the next big wind, you know?
Yeah, but you don't want to put likely in there.
I know.
I would leave it alone.
I think that's
everybody understands it because the reports that I read, no one's ever addressing vegetation and grading, and so we're assuming that they have no evidence.
But don't you like that better than the way it reads right now? Because the way it reads right now, it almost sounds like you could construe it that you do need to, you know, the vegetation with respect to its effect on the condition of the building. So that doesn't
argument I would say, is it adverse if the tree is leaning but hasn't yet fallen? Like the adverse effect hasn't happened yet. That is still predictive.
It's going to be an adverse condition even if it hasn't occurred, right?
Well,
well, why is it raining? I've seen trees going 45 degrees that are perfectly healthy.
Exactly. Oh, I know. There's some Palo Verdes.
I like to any existing adverse effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, any existing and not get predictive, right?
Yeah.
That's a little cleaner, isn't it?
I think it's a little better. I guess it's true that if it's 45 degrees, it, is that an existing adverse effect? Any evident... How can we pin that down so it's just, it needs to be pretty close to failure mode before we're calling it.
Right.
Well,
I can't think of anything better than what we have here. I think this,
I think that's
What do you think, Roger?
Well, I'm reading the ASHI standards. Vegetation, grading, surface drainage, and retaining walls that are likely to adversely affect the building.
Right.
I know, that seems pretty good to me.
That's really broad.
Yeah.
That's so broad.
Yeah, and likely that makes it more broad. But existing narrows the scope a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah, these guys, Roger, have a problem with the word likely.
Likely.
Yeah, you know, because that, who says it's likely? Lawyer?
What if it's
a homeowner? Well, I mean, whoever the lawyer's expert is.
Okay. What if we, instead of existing, said, I don't know how lawyers got to this place, but reasonable is actually something you guys work with, right? All the time.
It is something we work with. That's very context dependent, which is helpful in some circumstances. It's not helpful in others.
What if we said to any reasonably evident adverse effect? So like grading and drainage, we have like virtually no shot at that. They build these sites dead flat, you know, in many of the older housing. It's just impossible. We have no chance. It's not reasonably evident to us that there's an adverse effect on the condition of the building.
If you put reasonably evident up there, you're going to have to put that in the glossary.
Reasonable is in a, it's a legal.
Well, there's reasonable with respect to a reasonable person, and there's reasonable with respect to the specialized knowledge you bring as a home inspector. I think you would want to clarify, like, if we do add something to the glossary about what reasonable we're talking about, that might be wise. I don't.
How is reasonable so much better than likely? Isn't it awfully similar?
They're both scary.
No, we're saying it has to be reasonably apparent to us.
Oh, apparent.
We have to, like a reasonable home inspector would go, that's trouble, you know. In a normal amount of time that it didn't change, you know, your peer would say that's not acceptable.
I would say any change we're making is probably going to broaden the scope of liability for a home inspector.
Any but that changes seems to be worsening it?
I think most of the changes we're talking about.
Okay.
But,
how are you with where it is right now?
Where it is right now, it seems, frankly, to lean too far the other way, where we are giving home inspectors an out if they, you know, don't report on a 45-degree leaning tree.
But there's like a fine line there.
Yeah, there right. is. I suppose between the two options, I would prefer reasonably apparent adverse effect
than
anything else.
The burden of proof shifts a little bit to the, you know.
I don't want to go that far, because when we're talking about burdens of proof, we're talking about what side of the case we're on, and we're already seeing those litigations. I don't want to go that far.
I'd agree with the way it is. And I say that only because this is such a minor thing. I can't think of one case that was complained about because of vegetation, grading, drainage, driveways, patios, walkways, or retaining walls. I can't think of one in 20 years.
Right.
So,
grading and drainage? You've never... I've done expert witness cases on this.
Well, maybe in the courts, but no one's come in through my EACs with anything like that.
But it is.
It's a common call on every report, right? Creating a drainage. Right. And keep in mind, we're not, you know, if we got a 1 acre property and there's a major grading erosion issue on the southeast corner that's not affecting the building, inspector doesn't have to do anything on it.
Right.
So, and I, that's just the way it's built. But a good inspector will call it out, mm-hmm. but not required to, right?
Then the only thing I would change is condition of the building to condition of the property, and then you can include that.
I can think.
Yeah, I don't want to get to the property. Let's stay on the building,
mm-hmm.
or and it should be building or structures.
Well, but it's not like, structure. You
so grading and drainage and retaining walls.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I would make a recommendation that you just change the word there, their, to apparent. So that has to be apparent. I don't think you need the word reasonably. I mean, just put apparent.
Yeah, that's good. I like that a lot.
Thank you, Deanie.
Thanks.
Yeah, and Ashley took the likely road on that. Right. That's all.
That's awesome. That's
she went apparent is the excellent word.
Yeah, thank you.
Somebody's got it to throw
just it down. Earn that huge bonus that you're getting. Some points here. That was awesome.
So how's it read?
Sorry. With respect to any reason or with respect to any adverse impact
on the condition of the building. I like it though.
I like that a lot.
I go with it right.
Check it.
Yep.
Okay, so.
All right, so we're 5-2.
5-2.
So, yeah, the discussion was here, is there or not for the inspector, if testing of safety reversing of the door could possibly damage, cause danger to components of property. Is there or not for the inspector here? Minor safety reversing.
3.2.3B.
Oh, yeah. D3. It's already in there, right?
3.2.
I think there's a general exclusion on damage, cost damage to the property or something, right?
Yep, there is.
Can you show me what that, tell me what that
it's
is?
It's right there in the, it's 3.2B3.
Thanks.
Right.
Perform any procedure which may damage the property or its components or be dangerous to the inspector or the person. It seems like that covers. In other words, the scenario here is you go to test the overhead door, the trolley arm is hanging by one loose bolt, you're not going to touch it because you don't want to write a check for it. This is exactly the scenario. And inspectors, it happens all the time, right?
Check it.
So, but I guess three...
Damage the property or its components.
I guess 3.2B covers that, though, doesn't it?
It surely does, yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess as long as it covers
3.2B3. Yeah, that's right.
So as long as it covers it, then maybe we're good on that on 5.2, okay?
So 5.3.1.
I can go either way on it.
3. What is 1?
I.
I, I'm sorry.
So this got back to you know, us trying to wordsmith this glazing thing. And the idea was that there could be other defects. And I guess the deal is, I'll record observe interior coatings.
So broaden the exception.
So, I, first of all, interior coatings is one issue. We could have exterior coatings.
On a window?
On a window, right? In other words, improperly applied tinting could be an exterior coating, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that might be a call if the tinting is failing and it's an obvious adverse condition. So, maybe the word interior...
the word tint or tinting?
Well, tinting is a type of coating, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't know that I want to add tinting in there. But maybe we remove interior if we're going to have coatings. and just say coatings and just remove interior as one thought.
Yeah.
Or Bruce's take was we exclude coatings and tinting, all coatings and tinting on the glazing is the other angle.
I like a tinting is a film.
Right, and tinting could be factory installed or aftermarket installed, right?
Yeah. Well, the other thing we didn't include, have you ever seen the, you've got
I know, the variable
blinds line between.
It's got a vape,
but
the blinds,
we're
right?
out on window blind type stuff, I think, somewhere.
Yep, blinds are not the.
It's a window treat.
Requires.
Even if it's interior to the glass, it's a window treat.
Okay.
And of course, you do have those windows with vapors in them where you can hit a switch and they will haze, for, you know,
yeah, right.
on the high end homes for privacy.
So we could say coatings, comma, and then tinting, comma, and then.
So if we
up,
just lose
take
interior.
Take out interior.
I'm wondering if we just lose interior.
If your
or
films will be included as
they're
a
out there.
Yeah, I think we need to put tinting in there, David.
I do. I like
yeah.
it.
But just so it's seals, coatings, tinting, efficiency gases between multi-glazed windows.
So then, yeah.
And efficiency gases, sometimes it's a vacuum, right?
Well, it's like, look, efficiency gases are argon. They put argon.
No, I understand.
Sometimes
that,
it is a vacuum.
It could just be a vacuum and not a.
So we should gas vacuum because it's not a gas, so we should have that.
The other thing is
because if there's
it's
a
almost
of
always
vacuum,
inert,
there's gas in there.
It's almost always inert gas now, right? Isn't it?
I never
you just don't have vacuum.
Anything but that.
Vacuum was the beginning, it's the first
yeah.
system.
Okay.
But are there still systems that Second. Operate using the vacuum?
Probably
sure.
some older windows.
So I would just include vacuum because technically gases would exclude the vacuum.
So, efficiency gases or a vacuum.
Can't think back. So how do we feel about, you know how the divider gets deformed?
Uh-huh.
So would that be something we're supposed to do? It's really a cosmetic defect, is what I would argue. Although it can be widespread so that all the windows are deformed to a high degree, and it's people don't like it, I'll tell you that. The integrity of
you
seals.
You talk about the rubber seal deforming?
Yeah.
yeah.
So are we required to inspect those, or is it a cosmetic?
Well, to me, the deformation of the rubber seal gets back to the
integrity
of the seals.
Seal. I agree.
Because obviously it doesn't have good integrity if it's deformed.
Perfect.
And it is a type of failure.
It is.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean the window's foggy, and we know that. We can have them all over the place, and the window's fogged. Yeah, I guess I'm still back and forth on vacuum, but I guess.
I mean, I assume the policy here is to exclude any system like that. If they exist somewhere out in the world, we want the inspector to know that they don't have to inspect those, even if they're here.
Where is window treatments?
No, it's in 11.
Just got
11 interiors, 11 3 C. Great
11
3
C.
Window treatments.
11
there
3
it is.
C.
Okay, thank you.
That's a lot of to do about windows.
But we're getting rid of the
coatings.
Okay, so what Ashley has.
Efficiency gases or a vacuum between your done. Yeah, that should be all it takes.
So let me tell you what Ashley currently has. It's short and sweet. Inspector is not required to inspect coatings on and the hermetic seals between panes of window glass. That's it.
Leaves out the gases.
No, leaves out gases, vacuum, tinting.
I actually like that.
It's cleaner. Coatings on and hermetic seals between panes of window glass. A little more succinct.
But it leaves out the
no.
argon.
Kurt,
all the argon is
yeah.
leaked out.
Well, that's a hermetic seal.
Hermetic
you
seal.
Lost your seal.
Isn't that hermetic seal?
Whether it has it or not.
but
they all have
shouldn't
hermetic
be
seals.
Defined hermetic.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
No problem.
10-2-Z right here. Do you just sub that out completely for I?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is one we need to clean up on the lease, David. Because it, you know, when I first, so with 701D2, the more I looked at that, you know, we just got lucky, you know, really, that no plaintiff's attorney said, you know, the inspector's supposed to check for gas leaks, by the way. Did you guys know that? Oops.
You got, the inspector is not required to observe coatings on and the hermetic seals between panes of window, and you should put door glass in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got all that sliding doors out of your panes.
Is it window or just...
No, this is in the... this is in... We're doing... There's doors in this section.
Between pane... Take out the word window.
Between multi-pane glass. Yeah, maybe take window out.
Yeah, they actually has window glass in there, but it should be... How about just glass?
Panes
or
glass.
Window and door, just glass.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Right. Okay. Yep. Yep. All right. 7-1, dog 2. So there was no out for the inspector on gas leaks here, is what we discovered, what Bruce discovered, and he's darn right. And that's really the big exposure here is the, you know, the inspector has to address water leaks.
Well, I like to put in the word suspected leaks, and that should clean that up.
Suspected leaks.
But how would we do that?
The suspected leaks? They're dripping on your head.
We're talking about gas, aren't we?
And you smell.
But in COVID, a bunch of people lost their sense of smell.
They're screwed.
They can't be a home inspector?
Well,
they just lost their license?
I'm afraid so. We're not doing
that.
Well, it's better than suspected rates. I mean, you can't.
So,
if there is
again,
a leak.
The policy that we're going after, the policy we're looking for is exclusion of gas leaks.
Correct.
Okay.
That's what we're trying to accomplish. But
we're in the section of what they must observe.
So let's just put it in...
But not including.
You're in 7-1-D-2.
That's water supply distribution. So water leaks we have to describe. Can you scroll up slightly? Interior drain, waste and vent system. Still not talking about gas.
I think I just want to remove this, right?
I do too.
Fuel store. So we just want
to.
Yeah.
It takes devices to check it.
Yeah.
It takes
if
a
we
device
require this, then everybody needs to have a CO sniffer.
Is there any fuel system that you ordinarily inspect that is not a gas system?
We don't have.
Well,
oil
we don't have
any
heating oil here.
Well, wait a minute. You don't need a CO detector for this.
Combustible gas detector is what
this is. Okay. This is fuel storage and distribution systems.
Right.
Okay.
Right, so he meant a combustible gas detector.
Combustible gas detector.
Right.
That's a bit.
So that's required for that. We need to take that out.
Or your nose. They deliberately...
No, we're not doing that.
You're not doing nose.
No.
Because of COVID?
No, I mean, everybody's got different behaviors with their ability to...
Smell?
Use their nose, yeah.
But we're just talking gas, natural or LP gas here, right?
I've never seen oil storage.
Twice in 22 years.
But twice in 22 years.
Which is basically diesel. It was basically number two diesel.
Wow.
You know, it was a little cabin up in the woods, you know, up in your area.
Right, and the only other time is on a backup generator, a diesel fuel tank for a backup generator in a big house. That's the only other time I've seen it with diesel fuel.
And we exclude all backup power systems.
Well, why not?
We actually should.
Yeah. Do we?
No, we don't.
I'll make a note. Jesus.
So, Why don't we leave in that inclusion and then write an exclusion for not required to observe? And, well, actually, no, we should talk about it in the section where we're including.
How about detect the odor?
Oh, gosh, that's so subjective, Roger.
I thought I'd bring it up, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Soon we can talk about it.
So what did Archie do? They still in the play?
Just lose leaks.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
That's what Internachi did, too.
Yeah.
I think it's important to do
that. I mean, so I can't see a good reason to not just lose leaks and move on. Yeah.
That's true. You're still required to observe the system. Yeah, so, right.
And we're still on the hook for plumbing leaks, water leaks, if you will.
Yeah. And we'll still need to talk about the interior fuel storage equipment piping mechanism.
Yeah. Okay. We dodged a bullet on this one, guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good fun.
I know about the rest of you guys, but fuel leaks are the least of my worries.
Right.
I mean, I'm probably twice in 22 years have I ever reported, you know, that I've smelled an odor of gas or something like that. Because the gas company's out there right now, if you call them.
Right.
Yeah, we just, if you think about it, they're having trouble with the CSST systems, right? And walls and all that. This is a nightmare. Let's get this out.
Yeah.
We're not responsible for that. Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to agree.
Yeah. We good on this, Steve?
Yeah.
All right. 7.2A1 and 2 shall describe the plumbing. Oh, all plumbing types at interior.
We're already talking about the interior water supply.
I would rather it said visible.
Yeah.
You're going to describe the visible type.
Well, I think the thought here was so much of the exterior is buried.
So much of the interior is buried.
True. We got more of the interior. The only thing we got the exterior is just what's stubbed out on the side of the house. That's about all we have for exterior. Water piping.
So this is describe only, right?
This is shall describe. And so in other words, we've got polyethylene piping in the ground. We have no clue when we're, you know, giving them a better understanding of the home.
Either in walls.
Right.
In walls and then.
But.
What if we said.
So either observable or.
Observable or visible. Whatever words you like.
Yeah. Probably I'm not 100% in agreement on adding just interior and limiting it to interior, frankly. I can't think of a more compelling reason that Bruce gave me to do that. He just thought it was cleaner because of the unknowns for exterior piping. And I think that was it, the risk of having to describe so much that we can't even see outside. We got a little more view inside. We got below sinks, we got attics. You know, we've got a lot more opportunities for interior piping. Laundries.
But it'd be better if we just said whatever's visible, you got to tell us what type it is, right? Isn't that?
Yeah, I think visible seems like it.
It saves us from the nightmare of what goes on with polyethylene and some of these things, too.
So 7.2A. So we would be just visible waters. So we would just have visible right at 7.1A, right there.
One and two would be the word visible.
Right, one and two, right.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah, I think that does the job. So the thought here was that we're never asking the inspector to say, is it a gas or electric water heater? Mm-hmm. The take was that there's no requirement in there for the inspector to say the energy source for the water heater. I couldn't find it unless you guys can. And it seems like that should be required. Buyers should know if they got a gas or electric water heater, right?
So isn't just the word type? Fuel
heater equipment. Well, shall describe water heater equipment.
Where's fuel source?
That's where it should be.
Just
add the words, to that. Water heater equipment, heating equipment, fuel source.
An energy source, or fuel or
energy
source.
Yeah.
I think that's all we need there.
Yeah, I do too. Good report. Good call.
Fuel source, almost, you can't use that for electric though, right? Energy source is better. Fuel source assumes it's gas almost, right? Fuel?
Well,
energy source could be gas or electric.
Yes,
or
energy. Energy source.
Yeah, energy source. A little more generic.
Yeah, I just remembered that.
Go for it. GFIs.
So did you see the change we made last time?
Yeah, I think I was at the meeting that you guys were talking about it, making a representative number.
I think so.
Yeah. GFI should be down at the bottom.
Maybe go lower.
Can you scroll a little? There you go.
Now it's readily accessible. That was
presence or absence of an operation of readily accessible.
And operation of readily accessible.
That's where we landed last time.
That's what we want to get out of these.
I thought we were seeing a representative number. Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Yeah, just if it's there.
And
after much discussion,
accessible.
That was a long one.
Okay, so what are we at? 8.1? We changed it.
Yeah.
That's what I said, because we did change it.
And then ASCIs,
we're happy with all them changes.
We worked on ASCIs too, right?
8.1, we changed it. 8.2b, he had wanted to do something.
8.2b.
What did Bruce say about 8.2b?
Wait.
What?
How did you get that?
Well, because we already changed that.
8.3b.
So ASCIs, though.
We got them in there properly.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think you're right.
Including ASCI devices.
Okay. And 8.1f, we did that? Or you suggested deleting all of this?
Well,
I'm not sure if it happened.
We
did delete it. Huh? Yeah.
8.1. We dealt with the AFCIs to our satisfaction. We dealt with the GFCIs to our satisfaction. Advised of reading all of this 8.1f.
Presence of GFCIs or AFCIs.
We dealt with 8.1f too.
The original 8.1f.
Yeah. And what did we do? 8.1f.
The new A1F is the presence or absence of AFCI.
Right.
That's all we did. Yeah.
That's all we need. Presence or absence of AFCIs. Okay. All right.
Okay, so you're right. So 8.2B is...
8.2B.
Asher removed.
Yeah, but AFCIs... AFCIs aren't on every house, though. I mean, we're going to have to make reference that they're
there. You just know the presence or absence is all you have
to do. So note the absence.
If it doesn't exist, if this
okay, but it's not a defect, right?
We didn't say so.
It's not a defect unless it's a new house.
You're just going to tell this client, you don't have them, you do have them.
Okay.
It's another one of those.
You can choose whether you feel it's catastrophic to their safety or not.
No, but someone's going to take it that way. That's the only thing I'm getting at.
Then you're going to clear it up with a paragraph that describes it for them.
Okay.
So 8.2b is... the fact that if it's a solid conductor, it's not a real problem, and you should be able to exclude the reporting of that. We're talking about branch circuit conductors.
Well, the trouble is, he wants to remove the reference of completely. I disagree with that.
No, he doesn't.
Current requirement actually removes
the comments. Read Bruce's comments.
Current requirement has HI calling out any aluminum wiring in the branch circuit. If we keep it, we should say solid conductor, but this still requires the HI to call out solid number 10 aluminum on 30 amps. Second, that we see on new homes, and that makes it ambiguous.
So it needs to say
Does it need
branch
to say?
Circuit conductors which are differentiated from a, you know, a single appliance.
No, appliance is a branch service. It's not a service.
Then
I don't see that there's any downside on reporting on aluminum wire. You know, so
but it
doesn't
causes alarm, undue alarm to the client.
What do you mean?
Because of now, right now, the way it reads, you're going to be doing it on stranded conductors that go to the AC unit.
Why don't we do that, though? Don't
well,
we?
You're going to, yeah, I guess.
Would you rather do the inspection and 2 weeks later their electrician comes in and tells them that they had aluminum wiring and scares them then, or you want to get them scared when you can explain it?
Well, you actually only have to describe the type of service entry conductor material.
No, then we have to report on it.
Right. So what we're saying is the ones that are not a concern, a stranded conductor that goes to an AC, why do we have to? It's not a concern. I don't understand why we don't describe copper or aluminum for all conductors, you know, in a sense. But that's
well, if you
want
to take the exclamation point out, you know, the fear that the client might have, then have them just describe what type of wiring, copper, aluminum, stranded aluminum, and on.
But the client won't understand.
But the trouble is, people are conditioned for certain things in the industry, and one of them is solid aluminum wiring on their 110 bolt.
Right.
And that needs to be addressed. That's an adverse condition nowadays, you know, and
so
needs to be corrected.
Can we create more specifics on what has to be reported?
Why?
Because the other pulls it out as a concern, in a sense.
I think Ashley's take was they just got rid of aluminum altogether because it was so sticky, because there's always these if-thens, right? You can have aluminum wiring in a 15-amp lighting circuit, and it can be legal and meet the current codes if you have all the proper switches and all the rest of the connectors and everything else. But in that case, it's not an adverse condition. So it's conditional. And even if we just said solid aluminum, then we got those 30-amp dryer circuits that they're installing right now, Taylor Morrison is on brand new homes, and we're supposed to report that as an issue, if you will, a finding. You know, and
information.
Right.
Well,
right.
We report on wood studding. We report
right.
on masonry walls. We report on aluminum wiring.
Right.
So it's informational. It's not an issue.
No. David is right, though, that there is a sensitivity on the layperson's side. Aluminum wiring, they freak.
Yeah.
They freak. The house has aluminum wiring, and you have to talk them off the ledge. Okay, it's okay the way it is, and let me explain why.
It meets current standards. That's all you got to say.
Right.
And
so why not, instead of report, describe? Because report makes it sound like it's an issue described as a problem.
I'd rather just describe the wire than report on how it's applied, right? How the wire is installed. I'd rather just describe the wire. Probably makes more sense.
That would be up at 8.1, Kurt. If we went up to 8.1.
Service entrance and branch circuit conductors.
Yeah.
And branch circuit conductors.
Branch circuit
conductors.
Branch circuits are different.
No, we already have. We already have
branch
home runs.
Right.
No, a single.
Wait, guys.
Chase.
Just for clarity, for Kurt, are we talking about adding it at A or keeping it at B? Because we have branch circuit conductors at B. Are you guys talking about something else?
I'm sorry. Okay, we're in observe. We need to go to type. Go down at one. Go down to 8.2.
Describe. You're looking for describe.
There you go. Service, describe, service entry and branch circuit conductor material.
That would be
two.
The place for it.
Yeah, sorry.
What if
branch,
we said aluminum single strand branch circuit wiring?
No, David. Everything from the panel out, regardless of whether it's from point A to point B or through several different areas, is a branch circuit. The only thing that's not a branch circuit is a chase. If you're taking the panel and you're running a chase through the attic to the disc.
Let's go with that.
That's a chase.
Let's go with that. That's it. The only reason that sentence is in here at all, and it's a bit of an oddity, mm-hmm. because polybutylene has caused a lot of problems too. We don't do the same thing with polybutylene.
No, we don't.
Only reason that sentence is in here is because single strand 15 and 20 amp circuits cause fire.
That's exactly right.
Period.
That's the only reason why.
So what I have to do to overcome that, mm-hmm. so I don't make my clients freak out, is say, combination, or just when you're referring to the ones that are not, device after device, mm-hmm. you have to say, this is not a problem, this is normal.
Meets current standards.
Which is stupid. Why can't we clear it up here so the inspector does not have to pull that off? And he's not, if we clarify, like the best would be aluminum, single strand, 15 and 20 amp circuit.
Solid
wiring. Mm-hmm. Solid strand, yeah.
I mean, that's specifically what our concern is.
That's what our concern is. You have to report it. You have to describe if that exists. Period. And then we're done here, right?
So you want to go back to 8?
If we want to get that specific, I guess.
It's the only one we care about.
Yeah.
I care about how they put in the solid on the 240s and even the stranded.
Well, yeah, you still got to inspect it.
The anti-accident and stuff,
Ashley just lost it and,
took it all the way out.
And the inspector, still inspecting for it because it's obviously an adverse condition. It's a known adverse condition. And inspectors are still on the hook, even by removing reference to aluminum wiring.
And it's probably because polybutylene. Why is this one king of the hill? And it must be in the standards. And then all these other building defects that exist. EIFS siding. Why is it not in here? It's caused catastrophic mold damage all around the country, other parts of the country mostly. Why did this one make it in?
Because it's a fire hazard, right? That's why. Little John.
Mold kills people too.
Right.
So
we either get specific or I think we should either get specific or we lose aluminum.
I agree.
Either get specific to what our specific concern is or just lose it.
And I think it makes a weird precedent. I always have felt that that's a, I remember teaching classes on home inspection. I go, okay, this is just the weird thing that happened, and you have to explain it to new people because...
But wouldn't it be weird if we have to detail 15 and 20 amp branch?
I think that's really weird. I'd rather take it out.
Okay.
I really would.
Where are you, Roger, Peter, Aaron?
I'm leaning towards removing it.
Okay.
I'm still going to report aluminum wiring.
Before you do, I still am.
Paul or Peterson.
I'm there for leaving.
Yeah.
Because what it does is it makes when I see it in a report, then I know the guy went into the panel. We start taking out if we take it out of here, then we're going to need to go into 8.2 and add branch circuit conductors to entry conductors. Because I don't want these guys, if you take out having to tell what type of conductor they got.
They already have to check.
They're out of the pan.
They already have to check it.
For compatibility and things like that. But it just gives me the impression that
if we leave it, we can't leave it the way it is, though.
How about
if we leave it, we have to specify it.
How about just adding 110? Reporting the observed 110.
110 volt?
Yeah. I mean, that's what's so important.
Reporting any observed 110-volt aluminum branch circuit wiring, solid aluminum branch circuit wiring? Well, 110, it wouldn't be stranded anyway.
No,
that's fine.
It is specific, though. I mean,
and our local voltage is actually 120.
It is
120.
Anyway,
so
you're right.
So I'm just sort of, this is mostly policy stuff that this is far out of my depth. I'm certainly not an electrician, so I can't judge the severity of this. But is the issue that this particular concern was both so pervasive, I'm assuming when these were initially drafted, so pervasive and so deadly in an immediate sense that it needed to be reported?
It was a big fire hazard.
Okay.
Still is.
So the houses are still there. The issue is still out in the community. But I guess... The choice is it already falls under known adverse conditions, so we can remove it, but they would still have to report it if they saw it, which I'm not sure why we would then be removing it then, because there are certain conditions in here that you guys think are sufficiently deadly and serious that the inspector has to be specifically alert to them. Perhaps it might be better to clarify the 110 volt issue. Is that?
I want to just ask you a question, just to make sure grammatically I'm reading this right. But if you go to 8.1D, so the inspector must or shall observe branch circuit conductors, comma, their overcurrent devices, comma, and the compatibility of their ampacities and voltages. And by the way, there's a weird underscore between there and ampacity.
That's not an underscore. I added a space there.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. And so so they are inspecting branch service conductors because of that comma.
That's the condition, though. Now you got to drop to 8.2.
Yeah, but you're having them observe
for
them.
The time.
You have
they're
to observe
observing
them.
The aluminum wire there.
If you, if
okay, that's your point. Is that he's
right.
in there already?
He
okay.
must inspect them.
Right. And the and is inclusive. When you have an and in a sentence like that, all of them must
including
be done.
This. Not yes. not only with respect to, correct? And
I'm sorry, I'm not
yeah,
quite fine.
And doesn't mean with respect to compatibility of their because that is. Concern we have as inspectors.
So, if I'm reading D, you're observing all of branch circuit conductors, their overcurrent devices, and the compatibility of their amperages.
Perfect.
You're doing all of those.
Perfect.
Correct.
So then, the one thing, so ASHI was actually founded in 1976, so this is the beginning of the nightmare of aluminum wiring, and that's why it has persisted until somebody got it out. And there are actually mitigation methods now that you have to tear apart outlets to view in many cases.
Holy cow.
And we're not going, yeah,
holy cow.
We're not
see.
Doing that. So anyway, we already have to inspect it. We have
condition.
To be in the panel, so that argument's gone.
Right. So I think you're covered on your, I mean, it's good that you got your EAC hat on because we have to.
Yeah.
Well, this is what we do. The, well, then you got to drop to 2. 8.2. Kurt, you there?
I don't see the harm of folding. So.
And putting the service entry and branch circuit conductive materials. And then you can drop your aluminum all together.
I actually like that solution.
That's
I
pretty
was
good
because.
Folding. Yeah.
Branch circuit.
Circuit.
Yeah, and then strike Baker there when you're done.
Because they're all branch circuit. Yeah. I mean, and then throw away B.
Then yeah, what's the term for the circuits that are, communities, outlets, and switches, and lighting?
Service outlets.
Service.
There's a service outlet.
Service circuit? What kind of circuit is it?
Service.
Yeah, circuit.
It's the one, there was one where you can plug something into as a service outlet. Your kitchen countertop out, which
so there's no. Okay, yeah, I think that's cool.
You know,
yeah.
That's good.
All right, perfect.
What did you guys do on GFI while I was away?
Did you decide?
Yeah,
we fixed that. we talked forever on that.
I believe that ASHI lost service entry conductor. And that's always been kind of a hot button on my part.
Because you can't see it.
Most of the time, you can't. If it's overhead, you can't. I mean, it's in the sheathing. You know, you don't know what type of conductor
it's
material.
Converted to a bus bar. Yeah, by the time it's after the meter, you have no idea what the real service conductor is.
And most of the time, you cannot view that because it's sealed by the electric
company. That's actually
a thought.
You
can't
you
view what's actually coming in.
I cover that by what can be seen inside the panel. Metal bars, or copper, or stranded aluminum.
Yeah. A lot of that, if it's coming from the meter into the bus, though.
That's all because
that's a jumper wire. I mean, that's not the actual service conductor.
You're not seeing it most of the time.
Well, you're not seeing the drop, and you're not seeing the underground. That's
and
true.
It really is not like some material fact that is so important. You know, if it has a defect, we want to make sure it gets inspected, but there's no reason to describe a service entrance conductor type.
Yeah, so can we pull that out?
I think that's
branch circuit conductor materials.
Okay, let's see what happened now.
If that's really smart.
How about the entrance, the service entrance connection? Would that be a better way to go?
We don't see that either.
If it's overhead, we might be able to see, you know.
Are you not taking your knife and cutting that insulation a little bit?
What is wrong with you?
No. I like being here. You know, I don't want to be a pile of ashes or 6 foot under.
See, this, I sort of get the impression that if I had to go to like a bar committee meeting and I was listening to other lawyers talk about, well, you don't do this or you don't do this, and I'm just like, all of my malpractice tingles are just going up my spine.
Exactly.
Oh,
totally.
Even if it's a joke, it's just like...
Can't help but react.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I think that's really smart.
Okay, let me put it out. It's not killing me.
It's not prevalent. It's another word.
You certainly can't see the service entry table, that's right, for sure, on any system. The real one.
The real one. Okay, but let me just make sure. So, but on the on an overhead service drop, mm-hmm, the inspector still has to inspect
condition.
The service drop connection condition.
Conditions. Jump back up to 8.1, will you, Kurt? Service entrance conductors. He has to observe the condition.
All right.
Okay, but not the type.
Yeah, God, that's smart. I'm glad you mentioned that one. I thought about that before.
Yeah, and it came up. But there's also... there's also another word, and I can't think of the word. It's not prevalent, but it's something similar. I'll think of it eventually.
Predominant?
That's it. The predominant.
The predominant material,
yeah,
I mean?
Branch circuit, the predominant branch circuit conductor materials.
Oh, I like that a lot, too. Yeah, I do that. But that's...
And that's been worked into the standards, in ASHI standards, if I remember correctly.
The word predominant?
Well, that cuts you loose. I mean, if you're going to do predominant, then you're down to the 110, 120s, and the 240s are not predominant. They're going to be stranded aluminum, or you walked away from it. I don't like the word.
I was thinking of the you know, main, all the outlets and switches, the predominant there.
But the guys are doing a good job on these reports.
Yeah,
I'm going to need a bit of clarity so I can evaluate this. Are we talking about the predominant material of which a branch circuit conductor is
aluminum or copper, basically?
Okay, because the way it currently reads, I'm reading it as either that or... there's more than one branch circuit, and whatever predominant branch circuit that conductor material is. So I think we need to...
we mean all the branch circuit conductors, right?
Well, then you'd have to put predominant in front of conductor.
I think we just take the word out.
I think so.
But ASHI did have the predominant branch circuit wiring method.
Method?
The predominant branch circuit wiring method.
What's that?
Scribe.
Method? Like,
I don't know about method.
Walls or what?
Conduit? I guess conduit or not conduit or Brumex.
That applies in Chicago and stuff. I know, but I don't know.
No, that's not working there. Take method out and put in predominant right there.
Oh, predominant.
Just to see what happens.
Answer. I would say predominant material up. Or
I wish we'd have never talked.
I take your point. We're here now.
I know I have it in our report as an option, using the word predominant. And I was like, yeah, that's important. But I hate it now.
But now, put predominant. I had a thought, Kurt, if you would put predominant at the beginning of that, I was going to move something and I totally forgot what it was. Predominant material used in branch circuit wiring.
And then you get to exclude anything else. So you just have to count them up, right? You're in an electrical panel. You count up, there's 13 of these, and
Well, no, it actually, the way it's currently written, if you use the word predominant, you just need to describe the dominant one, whatever there's a majority
of. Which is weird. It's a little
Is weird. Compared to our policy for other things, too, usually, I mean, with the exception of the primary function argument we had last time, we don't usually do this.
Roger, I'm not a fan of predominant.
Yeah, I don't like it.
You said you liked it just a little
bit. I did. There might be some use, but I need my reporting system in front of me, you know.
Why not? I'm not a fan of material either. I'm a fan of the inspector shall describe
what we have.
Branch
can
circuit
you go
wiring
back,
and
back.
Yeah.
What do you want, conductor type?
Yeah, conductive materials. Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, that's fine. Let's go there, and then maybe I'll make a note to look up.
Now, what about the wiring methods? Where do we address that?
We're not going there.
I don't know that we have to go methods. Can you think of a good reason to use the term methods?
What are you talking about?
It gets confusing for the customer. But,
well, the methods are going to bring you to the jacket. It's either a Romex non-metallic jacket or it's a conduit
type.
Or a VX Flex conduit. That would be the method.
That's a type.
But method is also an installation procedure.
Exactly.
So we're not there when they procedurize the installation. So method is not
a good. Yeah, I can't think of a good reason.
I don't like it.
What does Ashy do?
Ashy uses method.
Yep. Predominant method is what Ashy uses.
But we don't like predominant, and we don't think method addresses the concern. So.
And apparently we don't like predominant either. So where are we?
We want to move on. 8.3b.
I'm good with A2 as it currently is, striking B, if everyone is satisfied.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure I think we got that.
Yeah. I think we got that.
All right.
8.3b.
Now he meant 8.3d.
D, that's
okay.
Right.
Okay. It was a typo, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Now, 8.3d, I agreed with what he said. What did he say?
Use the word alarm instead of smoke detector.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, one moment here. What did you guys decide on AFCIs, may I ask, on 8.1?
No, we've already moved on. If you've got to go potty.
Correct.
Bathroom is closed. What can I do?
Read it yourself.
We were there when we put on that. We said we struck the correct F already. We're keeping AFCI and the public comment was supportive of readily accessible. So. We're keeping everything we discussed.
So we're leaving the presence and absence of AFCI protection.
Yes. Right.
And frankly, I was thinking back to what Keith had mentioned last meeting on requiring the inspector to note the presence of AFCI protection. And if it's not there, then how can it not be viewed as an adverse condition on a 1983 house?
Why does it have to be an adverse condition to report on?
Yeah.
It's presence or absence, period. You decide, or the homeowner can decide whether it's
they can go to Google and sort out whether they feel like it's something wrong.
Grocery is another system.
Bruce's take was that, you know, Ashley currently has it we currently have it as observe, and his take was it might be better fit under describe for AFCIs.
The type? Describe is type. Observe his condition. So we moved it out of both of them and put it into presence or absence.
And we went through this like forever.
Yeah, this is what made us quit.
And if you don't have a durable bladder, you don't get to bring up stuff.
Because you also want to know that Bruce did not see our change.
Oh, that's true.
He's reading off the original.
He never saw these.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you. Let's move on.
So,
8.3D.
Use alarm instead.
Alarm instead of detector. For smoke detectors.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Smoke alarms?
Yeah.
I got no problem with
that. I'm fine with that change.
Yeah, the thought was that the detector is actually a specific component within the whole alarm.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's really the point.
Nine one.
Oh, hang on.
Mr. Chair, how long did you want to go with this meeting here? today. We are quarter of the way.
Test.
We won't make it.
We're not going to make it.
If we,
Noon, okay, thank you.
If we hold noon, we won't survive this. So,
and I think that's okay. I think we're making good progress.
Yeah. Let's get through.
So I guess our...
We're almost done.
Our one...
I don't want to have to force fit and complete this today. I don't think it's doable in 15 minutes, and many of us have to leave at noon. And I'm fine always taking a bigger chunk of time, but we just have to plan ahead of time on it.
Well, I thought that was the reason for this meeting, is to get through this. But that's all right. We'll all be dead and buried by the time we get it done.
But it'll be good.
So, let's see.
Well, plus, the next generation of home inspectors will thank you.
Let's see. Let's look at the remainder of our agenda.
What else do we have on the agenda?
Yeah,
the rest of the agenda was just looking at the rules, which you guys could probably wait on anyways.
Yeah.
But just
that's cool.
Keeping it in your guys' because you've discussed it in the past. I want to keep it fresh in your head, seeing what we've discussed, and that's why I highlighted in there in those rules bits of your packet.
So if we dive into the fireplaces and heater game,
maybe try to
that's
get that
a
down.
Long dog. And are you talking you want out of here at noon sharp?
Well, approximately.
How approximately?
I have it 12:30. How's that?
12:30?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, in Sun Lakes or something?
Yeah.
Well, you ought to be in now, then.
Just to point out, there are four of you, so if one were to leave, you still have a quorum, technically. But if you want, just continue because it's probably important to the conversation. That's up to you guys, too.
You have sideline on a lot of... Well, the next one's actually Peter's baby to insert. But... Could we jump, I'm going to take a little liberty, could
sure.
we just knock out the future meetings just so we're not sitting,
yeah, sure
sitting here?
If we want to get through these standards, we're going to need to dedicate a day, not a half a day.
I agree.
This is the way we used to do these meetings, Paul, is we used to go come in, we sat here, we went and ate lunch, we came back, just to get the work done.
Yeah, and I'm fine doing that.
So the oddity is we have two positions on the committee that could swap, which would be terrible.
Good swap.
Would be catastrophically disruptive. But okay, anyway, just future meetings, what do we have for possibilities, folks, in February?
I'll be here for an EAC on the, I can't remember now.
17th, because I'm on the EAC.
Yeah, 17th, that's right, you are.
And the board probably meets like the 22nd or something like that. Is that correct?
This month is
February.
February is the 22nd. Yeah.
22nd.
So we want to say like the 15th or something like that, perhaps?
15th?
We'll check in with you.
My wife would kill me to come down here twice in a week. I say, when are you going to make money? I don't care. Whatever you need.
15th? Sound good?
We're
meeting
at 1 o'clock.
And then if everybody can just make note that it could be an all-day meeting. And it's just
okay, so Kurt and I
and
have
for
a
future
meeting.
Reference,
hang on just one
committee
second.
Meeting should be scheduled for all day. Okay, you can't schedule afternoons because we run into these kind of problems.
Oh, forget it. We don't. It's okay.
15th could work?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll plan for the 15th. Of February. For
okay. Yeah, I don't have any issues. Do you still want to meet at 9:30?
Yeah,
sure. All right, so if you want to power through on the heating, we can just adjourn whenever we get to creating it right now.
Okay.
Yeah, let's run through the heating issues. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I do plan to stay for much of the heating, but since we'll lose a quorum if I leave to use the restroom after you leave, we're going to go like
that. And I'm going to, too. Can we have a break, Mr.
Break.
Actually,
yeah,
we can just do that.
We just barely survived. Yeah. Go ahead and meet me up then. Yeah, sure.
So what's going on here? Where you guys
going?
We're having a break.
We're failing.
So on record, going on break.
You're hanging in.
11:48.
You'll have to go downstairs, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Good luck.
We got to
wait. See you guys in 20 minutes.
You're
actually, can I talk to you guys for just a second?
What's downstairs?
All right, we're going on a break here. Let me pause this recording.
Where are you going with the donuts?
Where are we recording?
You're at the champ.
Okay, we're back in session. I just have a brief question before we begin. Aaron, did you allot a day to this day? Or, like, what is your availability for the remainder of the day?
I have as long as you guys need to get things done today. So if we lose Paul, I can keep going and you can still finish if that's what you guys want. I'm happy to do that.
So
Roger, how about you?
I'm flexible.
So maybe there's some logic in just knocking this out, and then you leave, and then you'll get to view everything.
Yeah, and I'm fine with that, and I can share with you. We're in session here, right?
Sure.
I can, you know, just on the, I'll just tell you real quick on the whole heating fireplace thing, and I like what, you know, Peter put together. My main concern is the whole damper thing, to address the dampers and not requiring the inspector to have to inspect zoning systems or manual or automatic dampers.
I think we did that last week. I didn't have that copy, so we can adjust. If you go into heating, what is heating, 11?
Yeah, maybe we did.
9. Go into 9. Up there where we did changes.
I see shall observe dampers.
And you shall observe. Well, yeah, but those are...
Yeah, but still, I don't like them there. Yeah.
Okay, but go up a little bit.
Well, that would be...
Oh, that's electric. Okay, my fault. I guess we didn't do
we
it.
We did no changes.
We have to get rid of... we've got to get rid of multi-zone systems. I thought we did last week. Should I down a little bit to 9.3, maybe?
I think what happened is you guys were discussing it, and then at the very bottom here,
we didn't put
planted this
paper.
Fireplace stuff here.
Okay, and then we walked away.
Yeah, that was the end there.
All right, so...
Okay, well, anything else you can think of that's like high priority?
Now, are we going?
Just real quick on ACs, we do want to make sure the inspector do inspect non-central type mini splits. That was not in the scope before. They need to inspect mini splits. If there's an AC, a mini split just for a master bedroom, they need to be inspecting that. Because it was not central.
It's the word central?
Central. So we're not required to observe non-central. So we should be doing all ACs except for one that's in a window. If it's in the wall, a wall unit, we should inspect it. If it's in a window, it's not permanent, and I don't think we should, frankly, have to do it. But if it's permanently installed, even if it's non-central, I think we need to do it. Only other thing as I'm just going to head out here is heating and cooling source in each room. That should not be required because you can have a pass-through room where there needs to be some level of supply to it, but we don't need a register in every room, and that's what currently says. So there's an allowance, you know, for air to pass through like an open dining room from one to the other.
Closets.
Right, right.
I lived in a new home once where the hall bath did not have a register. So.
That's a mistake.
It should be each applicable room and let the home inspector decide what's applicable.
So are these line items already for us to...
Yeah, they're on there.
Yeah.
And the last thing is, you know, whatever you guys think on the bedroom fire egress, Bruce said just to stay the hell away from it, frankly. It's just fraught with too much danger on that secondary fire egress bedroom thing. So if you can find a way to wordsmith it and legally we think we're okay, but it's
it picks up risk.
The inspector's going to pick up.
Where did the push come to put those in the standards? Who's pushing to have that?
It was brought up by couple members to me, frankly.
Okay.
A couple AZ-ASHI members brought it up that we're not doing this and we should. And there was a couple other folks that said, yeah, you know, it's an important thing we should be doing. So,
and ASHI does not at all?
ASHI does not. So I brought it up for everybody's consideration because it is an important thing. But if we can't, if it's open up too much liability for the inspector, you know, it's not worth it. Because little Johnny dies and then you got a played up inspector and with tons of money looking for blood.
So I guess where I was going to go being predictive about what would go on with this, and I know Peter's going to has some thoughts on it too, but And I brought the code check for this reason, is that there's so many requirements of the egress provision it's a catastrophe. So I would like to level out where you just have to make sure this is not a bedroom with one, but you don't need to know the size of the openings and all this other analysis, right?
We can try it and see if it flies. But it's a little bit of a stretch. Just so you guys know, it's a stretch.
And
you know?
Like we talked about, it is a bedroom. Must it have a closet? You know,
you have to start with a legal bedroom.
So I don't know. Yeah, we may pause on some of these and not quite address them.
But
today.
I'll plan on all day next time. Sorry, guys.
Okay, that's okay. Okay, wonderful. Well, let's go for 9-1, which is Peter's project. And you had brought it up, Roger, to the way ASHI has their own section for it. Peter allowed it to be embedded within the heating section.
Yeah, but what about the instances where you might have some kind of appliance or whatever that is not a heating system?
So it does not generate heat ever? No heat generated?
What heat that it generates goes right up the chimney or right up the vent.
It's a cosmetic appliance.
It's a cosmetic appliance.
It has nothing to do with heat.
It's an ambience fireplace that doesn't have any...
Are you just talking about a log set?
Yeah.
You know, just a log set? I mean,
or a self-contained gas appliance. Mm-hmm. It's not meant to heat the room in any way, shape, or form. It's just a cosmetic device.
Some are, and some aren't.
You
got stoves. You got freestanding stoves. You got pellet burners. Mm-hmm. You got wood fireplaces. It fits perfectly in heating. Really. Heating is a great place to put it.
I know. I prefer to have it separate.
I guess it's going to fall out of.
Have you seen any
heating appliance? Right.
No, I haven't. I have this first thing that I've seen.
Yeah, I thought maybe.
Would it just not? It would not be included in the scope because it's non-heating, right? You just described it as it doesn't produce heat.
Yeah, no heating value to the room or to the structure or to the interior or whatever.
Then the problem is you'll just have to be right about that.
Yeah,
better be right.
So you want to incorporate it all within the heating system.
If you look at it, I added a B section to 9.1 specifically for fireplaces. Took everything from National ASHI into there. Omitted fireplaces up in 9.1A5 and moved 6 to 5 and 7 to 6. I put fuel-burning fireplaces, stoves, and fireplace inserts, fuel-burning accessories installed in fireplaces, chimneys, and vent systems into a B category. Then down in 9.2, it was simple to add fireplace inserts, fireplaces, stoves, fireplace inserts, including installed accessories, chimneys, and vent systems, to 9.2A3. Okay?
Okay.
All right. And then operating the systems under normal operating controls applies to everything, and C applies to everything. And then down in 9.3, the only thing that I added to that section was 9.3D2 fireplace insert flue connections, which was actually already in there. So I didn't add anything to it. So it fit in there perfectly. By just really adding 9.1B.
So this,
and if we were to add another whole section and rewrite all these exclusions and descriptions into another section of section 12, to me it's a waste of time when it fits perfectly right there.
Yeah.
Keep it.
That's fine. I mean, it's in there. It's better than it was.
Mm-hmm. Well. So I'm looking at, last time, if you look at the end of the new standard draft, we had just sort of stuck 12 on the end. And I'm looking at the exclusions for 12.2, and you said you got all of the exclusions from 12.2, or the ASHI National 12.2, and you stuck them where?
Oh, those exclusions I didn't put in.
Okay.
I didn't see them in ASHI.
Oh, because we just, if I recall
correctly,
we just
made those up?
No, we just
pulled it from what they did,
what ASHI did.
Okay, well then we'll need to work this, because I didn't see those in the ASHI copy that I have.
Yeah,
we just took that carte blanche from their website, if I recall correctly.
That is correct.
Yeah. So, should probably have the same exclusions, or at least work through them.
Yeah, let's work them in. Everything up above on 12.1 is in there.
So rather than, so...
12.2 is there, so that's, 12.2 is not required.
So, Kurt, I think first things first for our copy up there, if you would go to Peter's draft and just grab... You didn't... So all you did was add 9.1b
yep.
for 9?
9.1b.
And then omit
and
5.
Omit 5.
Yeah. So just pull... sorry, not that. If you'll go to his
section 9.
The option for... It's titled Option for... Fireplaces and Stoves, added to Section 9. It's a separate document.
Oh, it's in the... It's in the yeah, there you go. That
yeah, that one. And if you would just pull B, or 91B.
91B. Slide down.
And just copy 91B. And stick it in our current draft. That'll be the only change we've made so far.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And then omit number 5, and then change 6 to 5 and 7 to 6.
There we go.
Cool. Now we're all working on the same thing, and we'll talk about the exclusions.
Right. Hang on. Slide into 9.2. Did we make changes there?
You tell me, because
one additional change, though, is, or one additional thing that you left in was...
Dampers, yeah, we got to deal with dampers. Mm.
We want to get that out of 9.1.
Yeah, we'll go back.
So I think, do we need to make any more reference to your document that we need to copy-paste, or can we just go back to the other one?
I'm looking.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
This is Deanie. In 9.1, where you're omitting 5, why would you not also omit 4? Or are there chimney slews and vents that apply to permanently installed systems?
Gas furnace.
There's chimney slews and vents that apply to the other heating systems.
Okay, that's all I needed to know. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Let me just compare.
9.2. Yeah. No, let me make sure. If I recall correctly, all city ones will make dampers when you get into editing.
Okay, yeah, no, there's no changes in 9.2.
Yeah. So 9A5.
Because it all applied.
Remove dampers.
Okay, now hang on. My concern with fireplaces, chimneys, I would remove dampers from 9.1A because 9.1A has got nothing to do with fireplaces. It's all heating systems. And go to B and add dampers into chimneys,
yeah.
Dampers,
I like
and
that.
Vent systems. And just put it specifically for fireplaces. Because especially those gas burners, we got to be sure they're modified, those dampers.
Right.
Gas.
Right.
And all these exclusions need to go in.
Where did they come from? Why
this is ASHI's.
Oh, you know, maybe I missed that.
So all of these should go in.
While they do that, I'm going to make some formatting changes. Fireplaces should be lowercase to fit with the formatting for everything else. And would you say fireplaces, including, would you guys be fine with that?
And wood stoves.
Well, fuel burning appliances. No, because we've got fuel burning appliances. I didn't like that addition. Fireplaces and
Are we just defining all those other things which you may not normally consider fireplaces as fireplaces for the purposes of our standards?
I would. Unless you guys like the term fuel-burning appliances for this.
Or you mean solid fuel?
Well, no. Ash has got fireplaces and fuel-burning appliances, which is, you know, they're talking about, space heater, permanently installed type stuff like pellet stoves, wood stoves.
So fireplaces and fuel-burning appliances.
Yeah, it's better than solid fuel.
Yeah.
It's better because that encompasses everything.
Fireplaces and fuel-burning appliances.
Well, yeah, and but we run into fuel-burning appliances in kitchens, and they're not in this section. Stoves, fuel-burning, cooktops.
But this is heating.
This is in heating. Okay, that works. All right. So we put it in. Okay.
So were there anything else apart from the national exclusions?
I think all national
exclusions. No, I think we got to just get down to the exclusions.
Okay.
Throw one.
This is Julie again. Fuel burning needs to be hyphenated. And also, are dampers and flues different? Why would you not also include flues in B3?
No, that's where we're going to put it, right?
There
it is.
It's kind of called a chimney. Well, it's a flue.
Chimney liner would be a flue. We could put flues in there, Dean, without any problems.
So I will say your proposed... Okay. A4 still has flues.
Well, A4 requires flues. So there's flues in heating systems.
Yeah.
So take out dampers down there, too.
No, not down there. Not in
the fireplace. Oh, because we have to check that.
No, we got to check dampers and fireplaces.
Didn't Paul say... Well, again, I'm speaking for Paul. Wasn't Paul concerned about removing dampers?
Yeah, up at 6.5. Or up at 9.15. We took it out, see?
Right, so why would we...
Well, he was worried because the dampers he's talking about are multi-zone heating systems, but we do want to deal with dampers and fireplaces.
Because we can see those always.
And also, they're a very important component of that.
So,
and older furnaces have a particular type of damper that's totally different than what a fireplace damper.
Well, yeah, those are barometric dampers.
Yeah, and they're few and far between.
Yeah,
so with regard to where the cursor is now, down below there, vent systems, that's inconsistent with 91A4. It just says vents. Vents?
Chimneys, flues, and vents. That's what you got. Chimneys,
it said vent systems is what it said. He just took it out. Now it's good. So what I just brought up is fixed.
Gotcha.
You're going low blood sugar just like I was. get in there with the masses and go wrangle up a...
I ate 3 donuts.
You did?
3?
You did
I'm
not.
On my second
That's
one.
Good for I the duration.
I was first one here.
Okay, so Paul also wanted us to add in... that's the exclusion.
Okay, now we got to go to the disclusions. 9.3. Yeah. And you guys want all of this in here. Interiors of vent systems, flues, and chimneys that are not readily accessible, we got that. Interior flues. All right? What did I got here?
I think 2 could come out, right?
2 what? Fireplace and chimney connections?
Oh, wait. No, that's a whole separate thing. It was in my mind. We don't have zoned systems in here.
Well, you want? Why don't we put the ashy stuff that you like in there first, and then we'll deal with the other thing.
That's a good one.
So they've got fire screens and doors. You don't want to inspect fire screens and doors?
So I have it up. Can we just add section E and then copy all the national standards we did, or the national exclusions we had at the end of the last meeting, and just
right.
stick them there so we can just go through them
on
the screen?
Start with an E.
No, fire screens and those stupid doors. we don't want to be responsible for that.
Okay. Including the inspect.
No, ours is, our word is observe to mean the same thing.
Oh,
yeah. And so
he's got to change inspect to observe.
Yeah. It's already in this section. Well.
Yes. Just stick all that up there.
So it does need
okay, to now, now bring the one down. And there you go. And that would be inspector is required to, and then you got to put the word observe in there in front of interiors.
Or it just keeps going, actually, right?
Yeah, that should
observes
be
up above.
Oh, is it already in there?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So it'd be basically number six on them.
I know. It's just got its own category. It's number one.
What? Yeah. It should be six.
Six and on.
Well, you got D, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, then you got E, 1, 2, 3.
But it's still observe.
It's observe and observe.
Still D then?
Well, that's not the way we carry it. So every time you change the letter, you start in a new number.
We're not leaving the...
Oh, I see. You're going there.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's fair. You can do it. Right.
The format is kind of goofy right now, but it'll be figured out. It just started the same...
Yeah, that's fine. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So you like interiors, event systems, floors, chimneys that are not readily accessible? Seals and gaskets, automatic fuel feed devices, mantles and fireplace surrounds. Now, that one I want to talk about. Combustion air components to determine their adequacy, which is heat distribution assists, okay, and determine draft characteristics and new fireplace sensors for fireplace. Well, you know, right there.
I think we can just worry about the formatting after.
Yeah.
So in 13, for our purposes, the word inspected does not need to be italicized. I mean, there should be a 14 and 15.
Oh, down below, these were...
They were being problematic.
You see, it was inspected, then it jumped to 15.
Oh.
Determine draft characteristics 16 move fire.
Those used to be A, B, and C, but I think because we messed with formatting the bump, it messed with those too.
Brilliant. That's right. We're good.
Yeah. I think it looks fine the way it is, and we can just go through.
Okay. Now, we want to deal with multi-zone heating distribution systems.
Actually, and that's trouble because that also applies to cooling, so we almost have to put it back at the very beginning exclusions. Because there's no room. You'd add it to both here. I guess you could add it to both heating and cooling.
So I'm clear. We're moving six where?
Not six.
What are we talking about?
No, we want to add another exclusion. That's not.
Oh, okay.
So we could do it at the very beginning list of exclusions, or we would have to add it at both heating and air conditioning.
What's the exclusion?
Side. It's like there are zoned systems that
oh,
are just,
it's a zone system.
That would be an exhaustive process.
That seems to be one we should put in a more comprehensive category than I would even include
the
positive.
Very beginning?
Yeah.
Zone system. I like that.
Okay, so
that'd
you're
be
looking
at
3.2b.
3.2b.
Yep.
3.2b.
Yep.
Yep. Trying to get the page to come over. Okay. 3.2b, what do we have to there? 12? Yeah, 12. Okay. So it says that the inspector is not required
to maybe a 12 that says evaluate zone systems.
Zone heating and cooling systems?
Multi-zone. It's got to be multi-zone. Multi-zone HVAC systems.
Is there any other method of zoning?
That should be capitalized.
Yeah, that should be capitalized, HVAC. Including, I would put a comment, including dampers, ducts, thermostats. Dampers, ducts, thermostats, right? Pretty much all
or normal controls.
Multi-zone controls, right?
Or multi-zone controls, sure.
Yeah, like the equalizer up in the attic or something. Multi-zone controls. By the way, multi-zone HVAC systems. Okay, now, we don't want to just say evaluate. We want to say evaluate the function.
Confirm the function of?
Yeah, the operation and the function and efficiency, right? The function and efficiency.
The operation, maybe.
Operation and efficiency of multi-zone. Because we, there's no way we're going to see
the response, maybe? Response? The response of the controls?
Maybe.
Or the response from the controls?
Isn't just this first statement all-inclusive?
I think the first statement is all-inclusive. I don't know.
I don't think you have to go to, yeah.
What's the first statement, sir?
Function. Evaluate.
Evaluate multi-zone HVAC systems.
Well, we do. We have to evaluate the system.
If it's associated with the multi-zone.
Well, we're testing heating and cooling systems regardless whether they're multi-zone or single-zone.
Right.
What you're saying here is if they're multi-zone, they can walk away from it. So you have to go in there and be a little bit more specific.
But if you say, it reads to me right now, if it's multi-zone, I don't even have to look at ducts, thermostats, multi-zone controls, or dampers.
Right, that's why not what we want to say.
Right. So why are we entering those?
All right, so let's pull out the A, B, C, D. All right.
What about this?
And just put evaluate the function of multi-zone, multi-thermostat controlled systems.
Because it could be inadequately sized or inadequately,
efficiency.
It's not even appropriate for this house.
Evaluate. So function is too specific. We just want
evaluated multi-zone HVAC systems. You're saying because then you get out of it.
Yeah, then you're not testing the heat. Evaluate the function and efficiency.
Evaluating the multi-zone.
There you go. I like efficiency.
Function and efficiency.
Because
multi-zone.
One zone could be, you know, putting out all kinds of heat, and the next one's like being restricted or something.
But how is it any different now? Read it again.
Evaluate the function and efficiency of multi-zone HVAC systems.
So if it's multi-zone, I don't even have to check the function now.
Yeah, then we shouldn't be putting it here. Maybe it needs to go back into 9.3.
What about evaluate multi-zone features of HVAC systems?
How about we evaluate the function and efficiency of the dampers and thermostats in a multi-zone HVAC system. Because of doesn't work for me. But evaluate function and efficiency of dampers and thermostats. What else do we worry about on this one?
What if they no longer have thermostats down the road and it's an app on your phone and now the controls are numbers? board associated with running that is what's important.
Why don't we just go back to operating controls? Why don't we just go back to operating controls like we do for garage doors? So instead of evaluating function efficiency, you're not operating the controls of a multi-zone HVAC.
Well, we are. You see, we are testing the heating to be sure that you get good distribution and that it's heating and it's cooling. But what we're concerned with is that the dampers are responding too slow, or not opening at all. You see, or that one thermostat is conflicting with another. It gets very complicated. Even the installation of these systems takes a real specialist to be able to adjust those dampers to work properly. And these guys, all in particular, they're just worried about us getting wrapped up in the function of the dampers and the efficiency of the system. Okay. How about evaluate damper and thermostat function and efficiency of multi-zone HVAC systems? It's the same thing. Those are the only two things that I'm worried about, the dampers and the thermostats. Everything else is the same system. You're already checking. What do you think, David?
And if it's on, let's think through that one, because if it's on a phone and the homeowner hasn't made themselves available, you're just not able to operate. You would just know that in the report or the other, right? If you otherwise would want to test the thermostat, and it was a fully controlled system, and couldn't test it because homeowner didn't make
systems
it.
That are only phone control.
No, I'm just saying, when you look to the future, they're just...
And yeah, probably are at this point. I would be surprised if there are.
With no thermostat on the wall?
Possible.
I suppose.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
Nothing to stop them from doing that.
I
haven't seen it.
I thought I was going to get a big goose from that.
Well, it takes a bit
of time. The donuts.
Did you?
No. My brain's short-circuiting right now.
Coffee's a little more efficient now.
Yeah, there you go. So since we're in this little area of these standards, I had made old notes when I was trying to do the mashup that number 7, some of the others, either ASHI or InterNACHI, included things like after mold, they put mold spores, they put mildew, and then they also in here, same section, added radon and electromagnetic fields.
Or EW, excuse me.
Radon and electromagnetic
units. Yeah, you put field. It's actually EMU.
Top one.
RAD1.
And electromagnetic.
Oops.
EMF, I thought detector.
Electromagnetic units would be the right term.
Electromagnetic radiation or something. That's just simply outside.
Did they say radiation?
They said fields. Because it's EMFs. If I do, offer that service, I'm going to do an EMF inspection.
Electromagnetic field inspection, testing for electromagnetic units. So I don't even know how you would do that without an amp probe.
There's a device.
Okay, I have no problem.
Not required. So I just wanted to mention that because I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're happy with the zone. We made Paul happy there. He can critique it too once he sees it.
Evaluation functions.
Dampers.
Evaluate function and efficiency. What does my HVAC system dampers and add thermostats and spell it wrong? That's what I could do. Okay.
And then we're back to 9.
Okay.
Section 9. Heating.
Okay, Roger.
I'm good with it.
Yes, sir.
So those exclusions are good. So that's going to be.
I don't know how I missed that. I had that form. I was wondering why they were not.
Since we don't define vent systems, that should probably not be italicized, right? We don't define that in the glossary.
The word systems.
Systems. Oh, you know what?
But what
yeah,
we actually...
we do define systems.
We do define it, you're right. But we're not... Are we still keeping the term vent systems because we eliminated it previously? Or do you think?
Interiors of vent systems. Because
yeah,
we can't see the interior of vent systems.
Well, no. I mean, are we saying interior events or interior vent systems?
System is on its own. So, like, any vent system of any kind is what is being excluded there.
Right. I'm just asking because you eliminated vent systems previously when we were talking about
right.
and just left it at vents. So I'm just trying to keep the terminology consistent if consistency is what you want.
So the definition of system is a combination of interacting or interdependent components assembled to carry out one or more functions.
Right. I'm...
You're reviewing that too?
Yeah, no,
so
I see it defined in the glossary.
Put it back or do we take it out?
I'm just saying because at 9, if you'll scroll up to 9.1,
we took it out.
We took out, see where it says chimneys, flues, and vents? That used to be vent systems.
9.1
we changed it to vents.
So then if we did it there, there's a lot of places where we didn't do it, and that's.
So you want vent systems down below, but you don't want it up there. You want it.
I want it in the the systems to be italicized,
and you want it
and down there. Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that was intentional.
It's just a more inclusive or all inclusive type exclusionary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And then, so we're going to do 14 and 15. Do you think there?
Before you go to 14 and 15, you have two things hanging at the end of 9, that section where you added that those two determined draft characters. Those are not observant things. Those
right.
things you observe, those are things you don't do. You look back at your original.
Just take out the word determine and say we do not observe draft characteristics. Observe means to visually examine and report on its condition.
What section are you in, Kurt? Are you in 9.2?
9.3.
9.3.
Okay, good. Okay.
So draft characteristics. And we are not required to... you could remove everything except firebox content. Or wait a second. We don't have to move those. Okay, that's almost its own.
Yeah, so put E and then move.
Wait a sec. Would it work to go up a little bit if you would go up? What if we just added it to ignite or extinguish solid fuel fires or move, blah, blah, blah?
Rather than
add it as this weird dangling.
Yep, that works.
Well, it's just a different verb. That's my only concern. But that works too. I have no real strong feeling, by the way.
That's right. You got two verbs in there already. You just put a third one in there.
Yeah, true. Actually, better. Yep, no, you're right. Fair enough. Or.
Yeah, it's got to be an or move.
Yep.
Okay.
And there's two periods. Or a period.
That's because we're really sure about that. Let's
okay,
down.
That did that.
Down to the rest of them. There you go. Let's see what's in there. All right, you want, didn't we just move E up?
No.
Oh, we didn't?
We did, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. What did we just move?
We just moved it to the top.
Yeah, I thought we did.
Oh, Kurt, did you copy it?
You might have had a copy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so just remove. Yeah, so you copied it at.
No, that one.
There you go.
That one more.
Down.
There it is.
There it is.
Right there.
Yeah, so just remove it from E.
Okay, dump the E. Okay.
I
That's it.
And yep. For minor edits, all of those should be lowercase. So.
Just for discussion, how come we're not doing fireplace surrounds and hearth extensions for combustible? Why did Ashley walk away from that?
I have no idea.
Well, mantles, like the mounting of mantles and all that, it's just a decorative component.
Yeah, but if it's wood and it's within 12 inches of the firebox, it's fire.
Mm-hmm.
So the fireplace is
required.
On a standard fireplace, requires 12 inches up, 8 inches to the side,
starts to the right.
Down.
So you can,
that would still be, then you could say that that's part of the observation of the
fireplace. See where interior starts and where fire starts.
It's the generalized observation of the fireplace.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough, but they put it into disclosures here.
But the mantle condition
itself. Oh, you can fix that by go back, undo. And then we're just after 6, back into 5, so backspace up to 5, right there, backspace, now hit enter. That should have, well, that didn't do it because you don't have the formatting on 5.
Yeah, that could be done later.
Yeah.
There.
That's just me being nitpicky.
Formatting stuff. I give up. I have to write so much that they get good.
Anyways, continue your discussion.
Yeah, never mind. Sorry.
This is fascinating to watch.
Good distraction.
So, do we disagree with any of the exclusions, or are we good to just adopt them wholesale?
Yeah, just pull them all in. Yeah, a lot of thought went into those exclusions. Just keep them all in there.
Yeah. Do we want to add anything to what we're inspecting? You know, like wall protection, floor protection?
Yeah, you're talking about surrounds and hearth extension now. Yeah. But they have it in here. The mantles and fireplace surrounds are an exclusion. And David says that we can handle that in 9.1b when we're talking about the fireplace condition itself.
In other words, okay. if there's wood of any kind, you know, within the the boundaries that are not allowed, it's part of the fireplace inspection.
Yeah.
Whether it's the floor or the whatever.
Right. I don't know why Ashley eliminated the surrounds. It's such an easy inspection, but we can always discuss it once we get this tapped out, right?
We'll take another look at this.
But I always talk about the surrounds and the hearth extension.
Oh, yeah. So do I.
And the fire doors and the screens.
Well, at least the wood burners, anyway.
Yeah.
You know, gas, I'm not so concerned about.
Yeah, I guess we don't have any clearances to worry about.
Yeah, I'm talking about maybe if it's all non combustible materials or something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so.
So, let's go back to here.
1.7. So that's all of
9.1's done. 9.187, all true. What did he say? This is
10.3 now?
Oh, wait a minute. What did you do with 9.1?
Oh, so those do we need to check?
Yeah, we got to look at that.
Okay.
Because the standards say in each room, presence of installed cooling source in each room.
Oh,
and they're complaining that it's not necessary in each room, which is true.
That is true.
So
each...
I would say each applicable.
I like that.
Each applicable?
Then what's applicable?
Well, the suggested language is habitable.
Yeah, they suggest habitable, but it still doesn't have to be in each habitable room. You know?
Wait a sec. What is a habitable
room?
Well, is that
part of your habitable space? Or
is a bathroom?
Ways? Well, you have that.
But is it habitable?
Yeah.
Hallway habitable?
Yeah, all the time.
Closet space. Habitable?
All right, everything within the
closet?
Closets are habitable space.
Then you can't use the word habitable.
Closets and hallways are habitable space. The best word I could come up with was applicable, and then you leave it up to your inspector.
That's a better one.
If you're going to do something that leaves up to the inspector, you might as well say nothing at all, because that's
I think applicability suggests to the reader that, you know, there is a further definition somewhere, then you don't give them one. That, I'm not.
Well, the thing is, you can't not just walk away from it. You know, you have to, it's better to say each applicable room, and so the inspector is determining what's applicable as opposed to walking away from it, and the inspector is doing nothing about it.
So show me on, would you please give Kurt the wording you would use so I
would change the term each room to each applicable.
Because an installed heat source in each room is not really...
Well, you're only noting the affirmative presence when it's there under the current language.
Well, how about necessary? Each necessary room. You see, the home inspector can't be a robot. He's going to have to know.
And this has got to cover all kinds of different houses.
Yeah, that's right.
Upstairs, downstairs, you know, whatever.
All right, so just tell him to note the presence of the heat source when he encounters me. I don't know that we need to say applicable. The current language says when you see a heat source, note its presence.
No, we're looking for absence.
Right. So.
The presence or absence? No.
The presence of an install. So that's going to basically be the same as saying when it's absent.
Well, no, it's not the same because we know previously when we want absence. Noted, we say so specifically. So if we want that, we should say presence or absence.
Why don't we change it to absence? You must report the absence.
Well, you're still stuck with each room now.
Well, you throw one of those words in there that make it where, you know, I guess the problem is in certain jurisdictions, they have different, it's not uniform, right? So certain cities.
So what are you trying to apply?
Well, if there's no heat source in a bedroom, that's a big problem, right?
Right.
Bathroom too, most cases, I've seen it without.
Bedroom, kitchen.
And it was approved by the city, I've seen it. Closets are hit and miss, but generally not required.
Mm-hmm. So what's the... So do we just want to say bedrooms and bathrooms?
That's almost where I was going, trying to just...
Well, you need it in kitchens and living rooms and family rooms and dens.
That's true.
I mean, every room in the house except...
That's why I thought habitable would get us there, because but when I look up the word habitable...
Habitable is everything under the observation.
Well, what's a synonym? Where are the synonyms?
Yeah, we need a thesaurus.
He's got one in his hand there.
Lived in, suitable for habitation. Why did you use that?
Yeah, if I'm a lawyer...
So can I ask what your definition of room is?
No.
Please don't.
Yeah, good.
Well, are you saying that we only care about it except for hallways? Is that what you're saying?
Well...
Always and closets.
Yeah, it's not a room. A hallway's not a room.
A hallway's not a room. A closet's not a room.
So when in doubt,
so why
don't we just take it out?
No, why don't we leave it right where it is?
When in doubt, take it out. It's kind of like, doesn't this feel like you're in the O.J. Simpson trial right now?
Okay.
Yeah. When in doubt, take it out.
Yeah. The glove fits. I would say leave it alone. These guys are concerned with each room, but when, like...
Installed heat source in each room.
So
a hallway's not a room.
A hallway's not a room. A closet's not a room. They're just spaces.
So should we just say, in each room,
and leave it
alone? Not including, well...
No, leave it alone. Let them worry about it. We're not going to bust them for not calling out a heat source in the hallway.
Okay. So... Presence or absence, then, because we, for consistency's sake, when we say we want people to note the absence elsewhere in these standards, we've told them, note the presence or absence. That's how we solved the AFCI problem. So that would be my only suggestion, is we add presence or absence. We know what spaces we're talking about since we've discussed it here. So
the presence or absence of an installed heat source in each room.
So again, I guess what we'd love to solve, if we could, is
if I've completely missed
it. No, I think that's good stuff. I'm glad you said that. But
like, is a closet a room or not? You say no, but I don't know that that's universal thought, you know?
Then let's add it to the exclusions. If we really want to take care of that, we'll say, can you scroll down, Kurt? Is not required to observe the presence or absence of an installed heat source in closets or hallways and closets. And we'll add it as 15.
And then it's got to go in the cooling section in the same way.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
That sounds good. So, Kurt, take the same language.
Good call. Coffee is the answer.
Coffee is superior. I'll take tea sometimes, too. But coffee works.
And my sugar bomb didn't help.
Hallways. Or at least, unless you guys care. Halls or hallways, doesn't matter.
We've used that somewhere, didn't we?
No.
Area ways we used. Hallways, probably.
No, areaways are outside.
Include a foyer and a hallway.
Yeah, that's probably it, right? So we could just put and.
I'm trying to think of another room that we wouldn't put one in, but I can't.
I believe someone on the phone just said foyers.
That was me. But I don't know.
There's also laundry rooms.
Well, foyers, if a foyer is big enough for one, they will have one.
Laundry rooms often don't.
Well, laundry rooms require it, though.
Really?
Yeah, that's why we do the presence or absence.
Not mobile homes.
Well, not in mobile homes. They got a window.
No. They have the furnace installed in the laundry room.
There's a lot of laundry rooms without.
So that's the heat source.
Well, I wouldn't exclude laundry rooms. If there's not one there, we're just doing the presence or absence. You know? That's all I have to say.
There's got
to
be a way to make it simpler than this. There's just got to be a way.
Also, I don't know that we came to a consensus on foyers, so...
I think those are generally open areas that...
They're adjacent to the living space.
They're adjacent and open, free-flowing air is going.
And they also have generally...
They either choose to place one there or not, and that's by design, with the mechanical engineer decides.
So keep it in the exclusion.
No, I'd say take it out.
No, just take it out. Okay. And if a foyer can also... If it doesn't have a heat source, could be considered a hallway.
So always in closets.
I would agree with that.
All right.
Because most of the big foyers have a heat source.
Yeah, that's some pretty good work right there.
Okay, what's next?
We need to do the same thing before we forget and put it in here.
Yeah, we got to move all that to cooling. Exclusion.
So that's going to go to, unless Kurt finds it first.
It's 10. It's right there, nice good place. Okay.
Cool.
This is under 10, central air conditioning.
Yep, no, that makes sense. Just say observe before the presence. And then instead of installed heat source, cool air supply.
Is that HVAC?
No.
Cool air supply.
Cooling.
Cooling source.
Cooling source.
Right above we use cool air supply.
We use cool air supply? Very cool. Yeah.
And then we'll need the affirmative one, too.
Yes, we've got to go up to 10.2.
So go back up to 9.1, whatever ungodly number that is. 6. Oh, that's not good. For absence,
mm-hmm.
And then including...
It should be there already. There it is.
Presence. Okay, so just for absence.
B2.
So,
presence or absence.
Yeah, B2.
10,
B2. B2.
And then they just say presence or absence.
Mm-hmm.
10, 1, B2.
10, 1.
10, 1, B2.
There you go.
Cool. Literally.
Right, you said it's the afternoon.
I don't. On board, I can remember being on boards, and it was always like this, and it was afternoon follies or whatever you call it.
You need to be my age, being tough
all day
take
long.
Take care of it. All day long. That's it. Okay, we're at. We done with 10?
We probably have notes.
No, nine, he's got. Paul's concerned with that mini split.
9.2C. Are we okay?
Oh,
on that?
We're not. Oh, we're not done with 9.
No, no,
oh,
we're not. Right.
Okay.
9.2C.
Okay. 9.2C. Installer access. Okay, we've changed that already. We changed that to. We took out installer and we put in
manufacturer.
Didn't we, Kurt? Didn't we do that last time? Provided by. Oh, we didn't. Okay. We don't want an installer in there. The installer shouldn't be putting in readily open accessible panels.
Wait.
What?
There are certain assemblies where an installer builds out a front to say.
Like an access for a tub?
Exactly. Exactly.
All right, so we're wrong.
Well, we're actually in heating and cooling, so it might be like false work created for a return, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to pull that off to see the actual return area, or not pull it off. I don't remember. Is it not required to be? So you don't have to disassemble the whatever.
No, you do have to. Yeah, you have to.
You have to open readily accessible panels that are for routine homeowner maintenance.
So then, if they've built, you know, an assembly and they're hiding an ugly wall return or something with this false work,
mm-hmm.
you got to get in there.
Right. If there's a need to get it.
It's designed for the filter. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, yeah.
So the installer could do it, right?
The installer could do it. Yeah.
So
I suppose we got to go along. So we threw away 9.2C. We don't care about the installer. Is that good with you, Roger? 9.2C on...
Okay.
We left it alone.
Yeah.
As written up there.
Yeah. Leave it as is.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay.
9.3D.
That's, we just handled that.
No.
We did dampers.
Oh, zone systems, sorry.
Yeah, that's the inspected zone systems.
Yeah.
Damper's not required for HVAC, so we did that too. We did 9.3D.
Yeah, we
scroll down. Where did we add dampers?
No, we pulled dampers out of heating and put it into fireplaces.
Because that's the only place dampers are visibly accessible.
Right, but did we add it to the exclusions?
We took it out of heat.
No, we just took it out.
We
just pulled it out of the definition.
Oh,
10.3B.
Yep.
Okay, so this is the one Paul was worried about. The mini split in the master bedroom was a poor design to begin with. However, if they added the master, they needed to add some HVAC, central or...
So I think he's advocating to...
change the word central.
To only exclude, this is making it where you do not have to inspect a window air conditioner,
right,
where somebody could take it with them like a piece of property.
Mm-hmm.
But anything that's built in, so it could almost say not any non-built-in AC units, because there could be portable things and all that kind of stuff. Not required.
We just change that to window air window mounted air conditioners.
Window is not, instead of non-central, say window.
Yeah, window mounted air conditioners. Just exclude that one type in, isn't that encompassing?
In the wall, you have to inspect it.
Yeah, and I think ASHI standards has through wall systems to be inspected. Yeah.
How about non-permanent?
I like that one.
That's kind of like debatable, really.
Non-permanent?
Yeah, I mean, what if the window air conditioner, they put two screws in to make it so that it's held in place, and is it now permanent or is it not permanent?
And it's installed. There was some process of installation.
Yeah, but it's not permanent. Blinds are permanent. They're screwed into the wall.
Why not non-central? I mean, just carve out. You are still required to inspect mini splits. I don't know if there's a more technical term for that.
What is the requirement? We're looking at the non-requires. What's the requirement? Inspector shall central air conditioning, central,
so at
including
a three.
One, two. Well, we would add it as a two, and put the normal operating controls still as the last one.
What if we said
cooling and air conditioning, heating, including cooling and air handling equipment, including mini splits?
Or conversely, what if we said the inspector is not required to observe window or non-permanent
or portable.
Portable. Really good.
Portable air conditioning.
Yeah, we can do that.
Then you covered kind of the two bases. Where like the freestanding thing in the room that you don't know if it's staying or going.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With the ducts going out
exactly.
the window and that kind of
exactly.
thing.
We could do both.
That's what I mean.
We can put the mini splits in the shell and the...
Yeah, I like that idea.
And put the others, the exclusions in the exclusions.
So A3, right?
I would put it in between 1 and 2. Let normal operating controls be the last one. There we go. Mini splits. Mini split.
Systems.
Systems.
Cooling system.
Cooling system. Well, they're heating and cooling. I think
they're like heat
Well,
pumps.
Some of them can be, yeah.
Yeah, so mini split HVAC systems.
Actually, now you're going to have to think about whether we're going to clarify this in heating and cooling. And so,
that's true. A period after two.
And a period after systems. Now go up to heating, same place. So that would be 9.1B. 9.1A. And install heating systems, including.
So
throw five back in?
Yeah. So at the end of five, convectors or mini split heating systems.
It should be and, because that's an observation.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
And mini split heating systems. All right, and then you can go down and change the other from HVAC to mini split cooling system, right? Since we're putting heating up here. So 10.1, that is cooling systems.
Actually, those window and how we did the window and non-permanent, that could be heat as well. So we need that exclusion.
Is there such a thing as a window heating system?
Heat pump, a little baby heat pump.
Yeah, a little package unit.
So we need that one copied and put up as an exclusion. And so the one from pretty much mirror the air conditioning one we did.
So that's 10.3. And the window or portable heating systems. Is that after 15?
You should be in 9 if you don't worry about the heat. Yeah, it should be in there.
Right, we were taking it from
10. Oh, I see. Okay.
I have a question about this. Is it possible to have an air conditioning system that's installed in the wall but is not a mini split?
Yes.
So what I remember him saying was that those having been installed are permanent as opposed to window systems, which are not.
Right. I think we've addressed that.
Okay.
Yeah, we would consider those permanent if they're a hole in the wall, if they did not exist, whereas a window could just simply be closed after you've removed it.
Right. So at some point, maybe use the word installed so that it's window, clear that...
Well, no, we don't want to use installed, because if you use two screws to put it, to secure it to the window, then it becomes an installed unit.
Right. Yeah, that was the confusion. So 15 and 16 need periods, right?
Edie, I think portable might cover what your concern was.
Yeah.
Because if they cut it through a wall and they want to take it with them, they'll have to patch the wall. It would still be, you know, if you can take it out, I think it would still be a portable system. But they, it'll run either way. If they put it in the wall, they probably, the contract probably wouldn't let them take it out. So I don't think it's an issue.
Yeah, portable means that if they take it with them, there's no evidence it was there to begin with.
Right. They'd have to put everything back together. That's true.
Okay, so now we're to 11.1F. We already...
Yeah, we 11.1F, I think I noted that we changed that. We moved sumps to did we move it to exterior from plumbing? We moved it somewhere.
That was plumbing stuff.
Did we put sumps in plumbing? Kurt, if you can wake up over there and...
Poor guy.
I know, he's suffering.
Fading out. That's why we always break it.
Yeah.
Because we all get...
And see if where some pumps was put.
Waste ejector
drainage. Yeah, drainage sumps. That's what we put in there.
So it's under plumbing.
Okay, so we already did 11.1F.
Yeah. Did that. So then now we're to the fire egress.
Okay, and, did you read what I wrote about fire egress?
Let me see.
Roger, you don't have a copy of this. But what I wrote on here for, what were we, 11.1? No.
Okay.
It's fire egress. I disagree with taking, not report. I said if you report on fire, his concerns were that if you report on fire egress one way or another, you're going to hang yourself. Okay. But I disagree. I wrote it, if you report fire egress meets the rule and someone dies, the rule is your defense. Okay? If you report on nothing and someone dies, you will find yourself on the hook for ignoring the rule. You know? And if you report on fire egress does not meet the rule and someone dies, your report is still your defense. You see? So I got no problems with putting fire egress in there. I think we should stay away from the numbers, the 5.7 square feet.
Yeah, and all that. Yeah.
So we would exclude adequacy.
Right.
And but the presence of...
Absence or presence.
It must be observed.
Yeah.
Presence or absence must be
observed. I know, last meeting I said the absence. If we say...
I say just absence.
Right.
Because you shouldn't have to report that it exists when it exists.
Right.
So just the...
I agree.
Okay, so... It's, so if we look at where...
Did we ever start
with that?
Yeah. So why don't my thought would be 11.2D and say report absence.
What category is it in?
Yeah. Oh, you have it already.
There it is. From last time.
Interiors.
So right. We did that.
Yeah. Okay. So it's already there.
Yeah, we did that last meeting.
Oh, good. So we did it. Right?
And okay, that's all we did regarding that, which I think is perfect.
I think so too.
Yep.
Where is it? Where is it? What number?
11.2C.
11QC, report absence of secondary fire egress from bedroom. Yeah, that's what we want.
Yep.
We weren't as sleepy back then.
Well, that was one of the last things we got to.
All right, 12.1C.
11.3B.
Oh, did I miss some?
11.3B.
Oh, yeah. All right, now, Bruce was concerned with floors. He says floors are pretty much cosmetic.
11.3B.
He says, why are we inspecting floors? They're cosmetic. But so are walls and ceilings that we inspect at that point in the interiors. We're inspecting really cosmetics.
So is what he's getting at the logical consistency of excluding carpeting when we would look at anything else?
That's what he said.
So
he says, why do we exclude carpet but not vinyl, tile?
I agree. All floor covers.
So they should be required to.
So you want to pull the exclusion of carpet out, David?
I would add. I would change it from carpeting to floor covering materials or something.
Well, what are we looking at on the interiors for floors, walls, and ceilings if we're not looking at the covering materials?
Are we is the concern really about
everyone's leaving,
or
right?
Something temporary?
His question was, why do we exclude carpeting? Now the only
we exclude thing, paint, wallpaper, and other finish treatments.
Yeah, and carpeting.
So carpeting is a weird one.
Because it's generally changed when a new occupant comes in. You know, nobody lives with old carpet. Maybe that was the reasoning. Is that it's something that may need to be removed?
So that's just a historical.
What did Ashley do? So Ashley.
Yeah, that came from way back. Right. You know, when carpeting first came in, wall to wall.
Nice 1970s shag carpet or something.
Yeah, those were pretty. Way down in Hyden. So do we pull out the exclusion, or do we put all the other floor coverings in as exclusions?
There are going to be so many different floor coverings.
I would just say floor finish materials or whatever.
Excluding floor finish materials?
Is it immediately obvious that a carpet is a floor?
How about all those scratches on the hardwood floor? These are expensive ideas. You know, the gouges and the scratches and the stains and the chipping of the hardwood floors.
So when Speaking do we define when it's reportable or not reportable? How do we determine that they failed?
We're saying that it is reportable. We have to report in 11.1, the inspector shall observe walls, ceilings, and floors.
Okay.
We're not talking about the structure at this point.
So why don't we just take out carpeting? That's such a weird thing.
That's what I'm saying.
Because you're already
amenable to that and just have them report all of it.
Yeah. So walls, ceilings,
well,
and
although
floors.
You missed a stain on the carpet. Maybe
I know.
That's it.
But it's already in trouble. The standards are in trouble right now, because they say you're inspecting walls, ceilings, and floors. Mm. So the cracks and all the little imperfections. So it's just a argument over the reportability, the requirement to report something because it crossed over a threshold of damage, right?
I think that's true.
It's not.
And it's maybe carpeting was considered a temporary condition.
I don't care why they did it, but I think
I think you could find a logical reason for excluding carpeting. I think the